If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You ever hear of Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
You like them?
I think they're the bomb.
How could you know so many specific details? That is amazing.
Learn how Britney got her million-dollar smile.
Oh, I had one retainer. It was really gross because it was one retainer. It was like a one. You know how you have the top retainer and the bottom? But it was one. And you put it in so you really couldn't talk. And it had a key and everything that you put in it to turn it to tighten it every night.
What are you talking about?
This is fun! I think it's going to work out!
Yep. And now... our feature presentation.
Not sure what all the gunfire's about.
I don't know, but Duck.
Duck is
I
right.
I know that.
I hear you. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's an all-new program. It is Monday morning, the 28th and final day of February. How about that?
Yeah.
Bizarre, right?
Going fast.
Last night, the Academy Awards. Got some highlights today.
Excellent.
If you can call them that. I don't know. Those shows bore me.
It was younger and hipper, though, right?
Yeah, I hear it was. Yeah. But, wow.
Anne Hathaway changed a lot.
She changed her dresses
a lot. So
that
was cool.
Yeah, that happened. Then there was a lot of stuff I didn't care about.
Yeah.
And then there was more stuff that I didn't care about.
There was a lot of that, actually.
And you know, it's kind of odd. It's like, I understand the importance of all those people, but it really doesn't make for a good show.
Yeah.
So it's a little frustrating in that. Just drags and drags. It's 3.5 hours.
You had to watch it all.
Yes.
I waited an hour.
I did that too, by the way.
You did?
So I could get through the commercials, but
right.
I had to watch it to bring in clips,
right.
And I would have fast-forwarded through a bunch more.
Yeah.
You could watch the Oscars in about 40 minutes.
You can. You get through art direction, editing, sound, all of that stuff. You just zip right through.
Yeah. And you don't watch any of the I don't watch any of the pre-show because I could care less about the fashion. So
right.
I think they did 6 hours on E. And on ABC, they did 4 hours of red carpet coverage. And I just care so little about that. But there was one thing that I caught. I had recorded the Laker game and I was watching that. But then I flipped back over and there was one thing that I caught. It was Russell Brand on the red carpet, and she, of course, was asking him about his hair, like, who cares? But it was a pretty funny moment on the red carpet.
I am here with presenter Russell Brand with his gorgeous mom, Barbara. Listen, you know, I know it's really important for the ladies to get their hair, makeup, and wardrobe right, but it's just as important for the guys. So today, when you were doing your hair, I see you got a little different do. What was the inspiration?
I thought that I would like my hair to look a little like perhaps Medusa, but like the entire cast of Friends. I thought it could be a living tribute to hairstyle through the ages. What were you thinking with your hair, Mum?
I just wanted you to be proud of me.
Not going to happen.
I just wanted you to be proud of me. Not going to happen. That was so funny.
He's great.
If the red carpet was like that all the time, it would be funnier. But
yep.
Everybody else takes the question seriously, and they have to give props to whoever designed the dress. And that's just not
and
for
me. And
here
you are with your beautiful wife.
Oh, yeah. And what's she wearing? And then they have a show afterwards, and then today there's like follow-up shows on the fashion. That's just, none of that's for me. None of it. Listen, the show isn't for me either. I mean, let's face it. Jackass 3D... movie of the year. That should have been best movie, right?
Certainly.
10 best movie nominees. It's not even in there.
Didn't even make
Come
it.
Come on now.
That is a travesty.
How did you not pick that movie as the best movie of the year last year? So anyway, we have some recap of the highlights. How did everybody think Anne Hathaway did and James Franco?
You know, the opening I thought was hilarious.
Funny, yes.
Really, really funny.
Most of it was good.
Sometimes they struggled. Sometimes they were kind of cute.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
You know,
is he always high or does he just always look?
He just always looks high.
High.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he was high. I can't tell if he just looks high or was high, but it seemed to me like he was high the entire night.
Well, that's possible.
Didn't know where he was. And I remember right after they congratulated the scientists and engineers and all that kind of stuff from a previous ceremony, he did come out and say, congratulations, nerds.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
That cracked me
up. They had a couple of offhand comments that were pretty funny.
Mm, yeah.
They did okay. You know what's fun now is to do, watch Twitter and watch people like Patton Oswalt and Bill Maher go after it while you're watching the show.
I didn't think about that.
And at one point, I think towards the end, Patton Oswalt said that Twitter had actually out-snarked, I mean, was snarked out. There was like no more room in the snark area. Which is so true.
I didn't realize there was a snark area.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it seems like they should get a host, but I don't know.
It was fun. You know, I was okay with it. And it moved a little faster.
Wow.
Didn't it?
I don't... Well, I mean, they didn't take a lot of time, if that's what you're saying.
It didn't seem like it ran over as long as it normally does.
I guess. I don't know.
So that's a good thing.
My problem is that I have ADD or whatever. You know, I really can't pay attention for more than about 16 seconds. So a show like that, that's 3 hours long, you just sit there
and
go,
did you see Anne's dress at the end?
My God.
That last dress she wore?
I don't know.
Really?
Was it
just like
the see-through
outlining
thing or whatever?
Yeah. That looked pretty good.
Yeah. I don't find her as attractive as Ralph does or
Bean.
Bean or some of the people in the room.
I think she's really cute.
Yeah. I think he's pretty cute.
I'd go with him. He's pretty cute, too.
Yeah.
He's the better looking of the two.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I'd rather see him
all
on the cover of
everything.
A magazine.
Yeah.
All high and everything.
He's hotter. Yeah. Probably easier to
That's
get in bed.
That's true. He does look easy.
Shout out to NYU. He was high. Yeah. Right?
I don't think he was actively high, but I think he's perpetually like in stoner mode.
Yeah.
Like I am perpetually in drunk mode.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I may not be drunk, but I certainly sound like it all the time. So anyway, we've got Oscar highlights on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of the behind the scenes celeb action, including Charlie Sheen,
who's just on a roll. He's just a giver.
He really is. You know what he is?
Winning.
He's winning. That's what he is.
More winning this weekend.
He is the best.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Right. I'm not sure what that means.
But I'm an F-18, bro.
I'm not sure what that means.
The first one's free. The next one goes in your mouth.
I do know what that means.
I do, too.
I do know what that means. And we can't talk about it. So that's coming up this morning as well. We have, let's see here. What else do we have? We have Nicolas Cage and Driving Angry. Did anybody go see it?
Mm-mm.
Mike, did you go see it?
Did you just ask Lisa if she would see Drive Angry?
Well, the reason I ask is because I wanted to go. It looked, to me, I have this category of it's so bad it comes around to good again.
Yeah.
And this looked like it was going to be maybe that bad, maybe worse. Like, it was going to be wildly entertaining. But I was kind of sick all weekend. So I got up, and I bought a ticket for, like, 3 hours ahead, you know, and I was like, I'm going to go see it. It just looks so bad. I think I'm going to really revel in the badness. And then it got to be time to go, and I was like, ugh, I just don't feel good. And then once you get to that point, you're not going to go see a movie because it's bad.
No.
Unless you feel well.
You have to feel really good to do that.
It got my money, but I didn't really go as so much.
I support you by the way. Like it's almost, at least from the trailers, it looks to be like Showgirls level.
Mm, it really does.
Where it could be entertaining.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because, see, I mean, he breaks out of hell. I mean, come on. And there's somebody chasing him. I said, what's happening on that thing? So it looked terrible. But anyway, I didn't go. I just gave him my money. And also, we're going to do Ask an Ex-Hacker. There is a book called Kingpin, which is fascinating. It's written by Kevin Paulson, and he works for Wired.com. He's based in San Francisco, and we're going to be able to talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour, and you can ask a hacker. These are the guys, and I mean, these are the top-level guys that get into the Pentagon and the White House and Fortune 500 companies and steal credit cards, and it's amazing, the stories. And this book, Kingpin, normally they give me books to read, and I just skim them. Just to get a couple of questions. This one I'm reading. And I don't read fast. I'm not a speed reader.
So you're only on chapter one.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten very far in. But it's the part that I've read so far is fascinating. So we're going to do Ask an Ex-Hacker today as well. We will take a break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat right after this. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, because it's Monday, we're going to take a look at the best pictures this weekend. Not overall the Oscars, but the ones that made the most money, as we do every Monday. And this has got to be a surprise to everyone. Romeo and Juliet, number one at the box office this weekend.
Really?
Number one. It's the third week of the film's release, and it's the best weekend it's had.
Wow. That's odd.
It is. I guess people had to bring their kids someplace in the rain. Sometime this weekend, and they took him to the movies. Romeo and Juliet, $14.2 million, made it number one. Hall Pass, in its debut, came in at number two with $13.4 million. Kevin? Seems like your kind of film. Did you
would
go?
Would like to have. Was pretty sick all weekend, yeah. So I didn't get out.
Unknown was third. Just Go For It was fourth. I Am Number Four came in at number five. I saw that, actually.
Did you? How was it?
It was real good.
I wanted to.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. $11 million. Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. Now, it doesn't say whether this is the 2.0 version or not, but made $9.2 million this weekend. The King's Speech was seventh. Big Mamas, Like Father, Like Son, came in at number eight.
Yes.
Drive Angry 3D, in its debut, only made $5.1 million. What's wrong with you people? He escapes from hell. Don't you understand?
What does the guy have to do to get your attention?
He escapes from hell to save his granddaughter, who's been abducted by a cult, and he's also got to shake one of the devil's lieutenants.
Who's on
trying to track him down.
It looks so bad.
Oh, it looks so great, you mean?
Yeah, both.
Best movie ever. And then The Roommate at number 10 came in last this weekend.
We have time today. Maybe we can take some calls from people who went and saw
Drive Angry 3D.
Yeah. Oh.
If nothing else, it's got an original premise. It's
it
not
sure
the
does.
Same old, same old. It's not something you see every day.
Yeah.
I've escaped from hell. Protecting my granddaughter. Of course, everybody talking about the Oscars last night. We'll recap it in detail, but in case you did miss the show last night, here are your big winners. King's Speech was crowned as Oscar's best film last night at the 83rd Academy Awards. It won four statuettes, including Best Actor for Colin Firth. Natalie Portman took home the lead acting award for her performance in The Black Swan. She's,
did you notice? She's hit the buffet.
Very, very pregnant,
hey.
Kevin. She's very pregnant. She has got a baby.
Take it easy on the craft services.
No, she's got a baby in her stomach. Baby.
What?
Baby.
Don't call
Say
me baby.
It. Look at baby. Baby. You can do it. Baby.
Why are you calling me a baby? I'm just saying she's fat.
Christian Bale won for his role in The Fighter as the Best Supporting Actor, and the Best Supporting Actress Oscar went to Melissa Leo, also for her work in The Fighter as well. It's weird knowing someone who wins an Oscar.
Yeah.
Strange.
Who do you know?
Because Melissa plays my wife in the Kevin Smith film Red State that I did.
Oh, awesome.
That debuts actually in New York this weekend at Radio City Music Hall. We're going to be in New York City for the big red carpet debut at Radio City Music Hall, and there will be my on-screen wife, who now is an Oscar winner.
How about that?
Very strange.
Will she recognize you now that she has an Oscar?
She will not acknowledge me, I'm sure. People talk about the fact that Melissa did drop the F-bomb during her acceptance speech.
That was sweet.
I could see that happening. You get wrapped up in the emotion of it all.
She did seem more overwhelmed by it than everyone else.
Yeah. Christian Bale later on in the evening said he wasn't going to drop the F-bomb like Melissa did. I've done that plenty of times before, he said, regarding his on-set tirade that we played often.
Hey,
here.
It's distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the scene.
Right.
Were you surprised that he brought that back up again?
Not really.
You weren't?
No.
Wow. It seems like
enough time has passed. It's really not an issue anymore.
Yes,
he's won an Oscar. He's moved on. I guess he can have fun with it now.
That was funny.
Charlie Sheen isn't on drugs.
No.
He's not. He's just crazy. RadarOnline.com, the website, got together with Charlie last Friday night, where he happily submitted to an over-the-counter drug test and passed with flying colors.
Winning.
One of those first check over-the-counter drug tests you can get at the supermarket, and the screening found no trace of marijuana, cocaine, opiates, methamphetamines, ecstasy, amphetamines, PCP, or five other types of prescription medications.
Bring it.
Just to make sure the higher-ups over at CBS know the truth, he also gave a blood test to a court-certified toxicologist last Saturday.
I'm an F-18, bro.
So he really, apparently, is not doing any drugs as we speak.
Wow, that's just Charlie. That's awesome.
That is not good news for Charlie.
He's better. What?
That is not good news for Charlie.
Because he's crazy.
Why?
It'd be better off if he could blame his behavior on drugs or alcohol.
Oh, true.
If this is just him being him, if this is as good as it gets with Charlie Sheen,
yeah.
How does anybody ever work with him ever again?
We asked Dr. Drew that. Some people who detox and get off drugs, then they're natural. They become an a-hole. Like, that's who they really are. You see who people really are, and it's not good for some people.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen, apparently one of them. You don't want to be around him when he's not loaded.
No, I want to give him whatever it takes to make him shut up and calm down. So maybe he needs the drugs, is what I'm saying. Maybe sobriety isn't for everyone.
He's the best.
Charlie, of course, appeared on yet another radio program over the weekend. He was on the radio with our old pal Pat O'Brien on Friday with the Loose Cannons. Feeling you! Yeah. And he called the executive producers of Two and a Half Men a couple of AA Nazis and just blatant hypocrites. He also described the show, Two and a Half Men, as dribble and a puke fest. Which, by the way, I've been saying all along, and yeah. Everyone gave me a hard time. Star of the show says it's dribble and a puke fest.
Yeah, he agrees with you.
There you go. That's all you need to know. All things being equal, would he consider going back to the sitcom? They asked him on Friday. If they want to roll back to season 9, I gave them my word that I would do that, but I'm not going with the turds that are currently in place, he said. That's impossible. Can you imagine going back into the sludge pit with those knuckleheads at this point? Can you imagine? It would go bad very quickly.
Yeah, because of them.
That's right, and their crazy behavior.
The first one's free, the next one goes in your mouth.
Yeah, Charlie's not done talking yet.
Love it.
He's been on every radio program, except for ours, I guess, in the nation.
Listen, I hope he calls every show that exists. I love it.
He's going to be on two TV networks this morning. Apparently, NBC's Today Show interviewed Charlie yesterday. They'll be running it this morning. ABC is going to run a little taste of an interview on Good Morning America that they will be airing tomorrow night on 2020. So in the next 2 days, we should get a whole lot more crazy from Charlie's.
Love it.
There's no shortage. See Mila Kunis at the Oscars?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's not unattractive.
Wow, she looked good.
Apparently, she's got a new boyfriend. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. How about
no
that?
Way.
Win,
really?
Win a Super Bowl,
you get
Mila Kunis.
She's the prize?
It's all part of the package
wow.
now. You get the car from Chrysler, I think, or the MVP,
right.
MVP rather, and then you get her. They were spotted spending some serious quality time together. They were doing some pretty heavy-duty pre-flirting, they say, at an Oscar bash on Thursday while drinking champagne together, and they looked quite cozy. Friends say it's a blossoming relationship. Nothing
you know
serious
what
yet, but what was he doing? That, was he?
Winning.
Oh, he was doing that, too.
I pushed the wrong button.
Oh, imagine that.
You want to try it again?
Yeah. Oh, I don't drink every day. Yeah, okay.
Right. You know what he was doing?
No.
Winning.
Megan Fox has a new
winning
advertising campaign that's coming out this week.
Excellent. She in her underwear?
She is, actually.
All right.
Bring it.
The line is for Armani underwear. The London Sun. We've got a sneak peek of her new ad campaign. Features her parading around wearing underwear.
I mean, if she has to. If she
you may want to go online and find those pictures. That's all I'm saying. Not for nothing, but I'm just saying you won't be unhappy.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
And I'm guessing that Omar is going to move to Iran.
Why?
Well, first of all, his name's Omar Khan.
Right, there's that.
That's where he belongs. Him and his vest made of plastic explosives that he wears around the office.
He doesn't really wear a vest.
Oh, doesn't he?
I don't think so.
Well, look under his shirt.
Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
But he'll be happy to know that the Ayatollah Al-Khamenei has outlawed Rachel Ray.
Yes! Wow, that's a good move, actually.
Well, not Rachel specifically, but all cooking shows.
Fantastic. Oh my God, Kevin!
That teach how to whip up non-Iranian dishes.
Oh, it's just a
will
thing
be banned.
Of not Iranian food?
Because they are trying to use their Western influences on the Iranian culture, according to the Ayatollah.
So he thinks our cooking shows are trying to get in and do something political in Iran.
He's afraid that the American TV shows are trying to win the hearts and stomachs of the Persian people.
Wow.
And will somehow have a negative effect on them maintaining their culture. So all cooking shows from the United States have been banned on Iranian television.
I might need to move there.
Come on, Kevin. How would you live without your top chef?
I do not like cooking shows at all.
You'll be happy to know the top chef has asked a special guest expert to judge their cookie episode.
They don't have a cookie episode.
They do have a cookie episode. And they asked Cookie Monster from Sesame Street to come by.
Oh, man.
And test... What? What? Shut up. It was not a good episode.
It was. It ripped.
Wait, it was already on and you saw it?
Yeah.
And the Cookie Monster was the judge?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, if you're going to cook cookies for somebody, you might as well go straight to the top.
First of all, he is made of felt and can't taste anything. So why are they having him taste cookies?
Because he has such a discerning palate for the cookie. Ow!
Sorry.
He apparently picked a pretzel shortbread and potato chip cookie.
Oh, sure.
That was covered with salted caramel chocolate ganache as the winner. That was Cookie Monster's favorite cookie.
What's happening? Have they
cookie
given
just squirrel looking for nut. Just trying to make a buck like everybody else.
No wonder the president of Iran is
banning all the cookies.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're down to the Cookie Monster judging.
And says and I blames him. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 56 years old today.
Oh, and then it was my birthday and everyone said hello.
Winning.
John. I love him so much. Remember how crazy he is every time we go to New York?
Yeah, we always have him on.
Literally, he'll show up every day in the exact same clothes that he wore 5 days ago.
At least he runs there.
Yep.
So he gets nice and sweaty and smelly before he comes in the studio.
He's a weird, weird dude.
Got
I love him.
Going on. Actor John Turturro is 54 years old today. Ray Dawn Chong.
Hey!
Actress and daughter, of course, of the legendary Chong from Cheech and Chong is 50 years old. Robert Sean Leonard from House is 42. Pat Monahan of Train is 42 as well. And actress Ali Larder celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. K-Rock's World Tour 2011 destination number 6 is Metallica in Rio de Janeiro. Details.
Nice!
Details are coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8 minutes after 6. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Charlie Sheen is on fire. I love him so much. He's been on every single radio show in existence except ours until now. So we thought we would catch up with Charlie and find out just what's going on with this world tour that he seems to be on. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Could be better. I am huge. I am winning.
Right.
Rhymes with winning.
Right.
Me. Winning.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Charlie, you seem to be doing a lot of press as of the last...
Well, I just need to get my side of the story out there because there's a lot of uninvolved minds out there who don't realize what it takes to be me.
Right.
And they... If they could be me for a day, they wouldn't be able to deal with it because their minds are so uninvolved. They wouldn't be able to adapt to the power and the truth that is Charlie Sheen.
Now, it must. So were you insulted when everybody was saying that you were out of control, you couldn't stop the drugs, you were having those parties, and everyone was afraid you were going
to
die?
No, man, I don't care what the turds and the tools have to say because they do not understand what it's like to be Charlie Sheen. When you're a god, when you travel amongst the gods, when you're flying with Zeus in an F-18 and you are doing strafing runs in your underwear before your first cup of coffee, you have to understand that people just don't realize what it takes to be the man who is on top of Mount Olympus, who is throwing the lightning bolts, not the one who's catching them.
All right, wait, are you throwing lightning bolts or are you running strafing runs?
What yeah,
are you
exactly.
All of the above.
Yeah, you know, I'm with my goddesses, so just sit back and enjoy the show because you can't appreciate what it is.
Now, speaking of your goddesses, you apparently went on vacation with your ex-wife.
And winning.
Porn star.
Winning.
Girlfriend.
That's right.
How did that go?
Well, we have a special relationship. We have a bond that I like to call money. and everybody's just having a great time. We're having a great time together, and there's a lot of love, and some people can't comprehend it. And I say, if you don't know the power, if you don't know the power of love, then either you must viciously and violently hate, or you must violently love. And I choose to viciously, violently hate and love, sometimes at the same time with a knife in my hand.
Yeah, that scares people, I
think. Bring it if you're scared. Bring it.
Well, nobody wants
because
to...
Because I don't care. I can't deal with the uninvolved minds who do not understand what it's like to be Charlie Sheen and don't know what it's like to violently love. Because if you live in the middle, that's where you will be crushed. That's where you will be destroyed. And I choose not to. I'll take the Iditarod. I don't mind. I'll take all the dogs. We'll go snow sledding. I don't care. I'll put everybody up on one boulder. Next thing you know, you're rolling down that hill, and then it's an avalanche.
What are you talking about? The Iditarod and on the rock. What's happening?
I'm an F-18. If I fly by you, then next thing you know, I'm on your battleship. Then what happens? B-12, I sank your battleship. Thank you. Winning. Bring it.
Now, have you heard from anyone in the 12-step program? You've been slamming them a lot lately, where you're saying they're wimps.
The so-called Alcoholics Anonymous help programs are just, they're for pussies. They're for people who can't deal with the real life. I cured myself in 8 minutes, okay? Then I was sick again, and then I cured myself in another 2 minutes. Had a short relapse, about 30 seconds, went back for about an hour and a half, and finally cured myself.
But
I did it with my mind. And if you're an uninvolved mind and you're not evolved enough to understand the power that is Charlie Sheen, then all I say is all you have to do is take a Zildjian symbol and put it on top of your head, crash yourself into a window, buy yourself some jewelry, wrap it up around your ears, and then hang yourself like a Christmas tree.
All right, I'm going to have to get back to that one a little bit later.
I'm butting into the bleachers. Bring it.
Now, Charlie, is the money going to run out? I guess they have now canceled Two and a Half Men, right? Has it been canceled, or they're just not going to do this season?
We're not
season?
Doing any more episodes this season, okay. Is what they tell me.
All right.
And I say, bring it.
But what does that mean?
I've been turning their tin cans into spun gold for 10 years now. And if they want to give that puke fest a rest, I'm all for it because I don't need their money. I've got other projects in the works. HBO's going to give me $5 million an episode for my own show, Charlie's Corner. And you come on by and then we'll all sit around the fireplace and talk about how the fact that Elmo and Bert and everybody from Sesame Street never really belonged to the electric company.
Well, that sounds like a great show on HBO. When does that air? When does that start?
HBO says that it's not happening, but I know better because I have a higher evolved mind than they do. And so I understand that what they don't understand is that HBO isn't just television. It's HBO.
Right. Okay. I think they've said that, but okay.
I watch HBO in my mind sometimes when I close my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I have a coaxial cable plugged directly into my cerebellum. Because my mind is evolved. It's not that you are not evolved as I am. Winning. Bring it. I didn't make the rules. I just follow them. But bum.
It sounds like
you. Bye-bye. Chickow. Bye-bye. Ho-ho. Ho-ho-ho. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
What just happened there?
I just had my first cup of coffee, that's all.
Oh, okay. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time to talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, as we do every single Monday morning. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How was your weekend? Busy as usual?
You know, my weekend's now, because, you know, we have the bus tour.
Sure.
So we're doing run-throughs on Saturday, so my weekend is now Gym Tour Lindsay.
Gym Tour Lindsay.
That's it.
All right.
GTL.
All right, GTL. Good. Charlie Sheen is the best. Does he?
How so? Which part?
He's just a giver.
He's just a giver. I mean, he must make your job so easy these days. Like, some days, you know, there's not as much happening. But once Charlie Sheen starts mouthing off, then you've got content for days.
But you have to decipher it.
Why? Just put it up.
Can anyone decipher it?
He's good.
Oh my God! It's just, you know, isn't it weird? Because, you know, you think when an actor gets on stage or, you know, just, you know, nails lines, and it's so lucid, to hear the contrast,
yeah,
is really pretty. That's what really struck me about the whole thing, is that, you know, he's clear, he's focused on the show. I mean, they're all lines, but I don't mean lines.
Not lines like lines, allegedly. But
bring it. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, bring it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah. But
it's just bizarre. But, yeah, so here's the thing. Here's what happened last week.
All right.
So we did that radio thing.
Yep.
And we got this story. My guy Mike at TMZ has become tight with Charlie.
Right.
And he talks to him all the time. And so Charlie unloaded on Chuck Lorre.
Fantastic.
Just, I mean, but
now, Chuck Lorre is the dude behind Two and a Half Men.
Well, and not just the dude between Two and a Half Men. He's done Big Bang Theory, which is huge.
Right.
Mike and Molly, Roseanne. He is a huge, huge producer. The show can't survive without Charlie. The show can't survive without Chuck. And Charlie's at war with Chuck. So he said things to us about Chuck. And we, you know, and this is my company, by the way. I mean, this is Warner Brothers that does Two and a Half Men,
right,
which is kind of weird, right? And so I made some phone calls and, you know, to the producers over there. And what I was told was, look, you publish this, the show's over. And I said, look, you know, I'm not trying to kill the show, but Charlie's talking. And, it, you know, at a point, it doesn't matter which, you know, which outlet he goes to.
Right.
He's come to us.
It's going to come out.
And they were great. And they just said, look, you got to follow a story. You got to do the story. And we did it. And about an hour later, they came out with a joint announcement. But he has just launched on Chuck Lorre. I mean, I don't understand. He just hates this guy.
Do you think it's because, I mean, behind the scenes, when he was partying and he was out all night and he was...
That's exactly right.
It seems like there's had to be somebody at the show that was saying, hey, Charlie, we need you to get into rehab. You're not well. Was that him?
Totally. Listen, he's really launched on everybody, but I think what Chuck Lorre did was he taunted Charlie. And you know those slates at the end of the show?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He put a slate up. You know, this is the one where he said, if I outlive Charlie, if Charlie outlives me, I'm going to be really pissed
Which
off.
Which was really pretty, a funny, well-written thing.
Well-written,
yeah.
But have you ever seen a producer do that to a member of the star of the show?
No, that's true. No,
it's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was, Lorre, I don't think, I know, Lorre believed Charlie was creating such turmoil. I think he was pissed off, and I think he lashed out.
Oh, I don't know.
And this
it.
Thing just spun out of control. And I got to tell you, my gut says, based on what I know, I cannot see the show ever coming back.
Ever.
Yeah.
And
now, wait, what's the announcement so far with 2.5 Men? The announcement so far is no more this season?
It's done for the season. It's okay. done for the season, but they could come back next year. Okay. Les Moonves can pick it up, and he has until May to decide.
Okay.
But here's the weird thing. Last week, because of what happened, last week they put a rerun on.
Right.
It won the night.
I know.
It won the night with all shows on TV. The rerun of 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
That's how huge the show is. It won the night with a rerun.
Now, that... It wouldn't have done that without all of this, all of these tyrants.
No, it does.
Listen, I know it does really well. I know that.
The show's done really well for a long time. So it's. I don't think you can say that. I mean, I think maybe it's created more interest. But there are diehard 2.5 Men fans. I mean, the show's been on the air for a long time. I mean, this little kid has gone from 4'10" to 6'6".
Yeah.
You know, so people have watched this for a long time, and I don't think it's because of this at all.
Harvey, do you think, I mean, to put yourself in the perspective of the CBS execs, don't you think this controversy would make the show even bigger? I mean, people who aren't currently 2.5 Men fans would tune in to see
but
what's going to go on.
They can't function. I mean, you can't do a show when the star is, you just can't do
All
it.
All right, let me ask you two questions. One is, if Charlie gets his S together, are they big enough people to say, hey, this is a cash cow, we're making a ton of dough, Chuck Lorre or whoever, and to put it behind him and start filming again next year?
You know, I mean, I think the question is how does Charlie show that he's going to get it together?
Well, that was my second question, is he's going to need an out at some point. He's going to need to blame this on something so anyone will work with him.
If it's just an issue of him blaming, it's not coming back. I mean, I think there's got to be some kind of mea culpa. I just don't see it.
Well,
and even if he did, listen, it's not in his DNA to do it.
No, I hear you.
Even if he did do it, I mean, look, it's like, what are you going to believe? The last 3 months or a mea culpa?
Yeah, I agree. Unless he says, I was out of my mind, I need, I don't know, I need some kind of...
Maybe.
Drugs that I wasn't on or...
Do you see him saying that?
No, never.
No, exactly.
But he would have to if he's going to have a career.
But he
anymore.
Is out of his mind. So
yes,
he could come to some sort of sober place.
I mean, look, guys, if I say I'm going to play for the Lakers, it doesn't make it so.
That's correct. And I'm glad, by the way. I'm really glad that that's the case, because they wouldn't have beat Oklahoma City this weekend if you were on the floor.
How about the Clippers?
Okay, good. You can do that. That's no problem.
No, are we going to talk about Mel?
Yeah, we could get to Mel Gibson. There's so much with Charlie Sheen, but Mel Gibson is going to be charged. Tell us that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not official yet, but what I've got some pretty good sources in this, and it's all but official, that it looks like they're going to charge him with a misdemeanor battery, and it looks like they are they're not going to charge Oksana for extortion, and which is interesting, because
yeah.
The sheriff's department thinks that there's a strong case. The investigators
for extortion.
Yeah,
okay.
I think, but the DA's not going to do it. So, it'll be a misdemeanor battery. The stakes are 6 months in jail. I can't imagine Mel Gibson doing any jail time for this, because when you think about it, see, the reason this thing's going to get filed is because long before Oksana went to the sheriff's department, this is really ironic, her family lawyers submitted this declaration in the family law case, and Mel Gibson admitted in a declaration, I slapped her. I slapped her basically to bring her back to reality.
Wow.
But she was shaking the baby. That statement is what will kill him in terms of this getting filed. I mean, the DA thinks that's it. And I don't know why they put that in, but they did. But I don't see him getting any jail time, because really they've got a slap on him. Chris Brown, you've seen the picture?
Yes, we have. Yeah.
Didn't go to jail.
Yeah, true.
Didn't go to jail. So how do they send Mel Gibson to jail if they didn't send Chris Brown to jail?
Is Mel Gibson happy that Charlie Sheen has gone off his rocker?
Well, that's something that we deal with all the time, that, you know, you just bounce from one thing to another, and the answer is yes.
He's happy, like, all the attention has been taken away from
yes.
his rants.
And that's kind of SOP.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. All right, Harvey, TMZ.com, TMZ Television, check your local listings. You do a great job. We love talking to you every Monday morning. Have a great day.
Great talking to you guys.
Thank you, Harvey.
Bye.
Michael Jackson on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:37. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for Afro. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Then we got the showbiz coming up, and we have Oscar highlights. First, the Afro line. Ralph brought us a song last week. He does not enjoy the country music.
Yeah.
And when there's a song that's especially bad, he likes to bring it in and highlight it. I guess the guy's name is Trace Adkins, and he did a song called Brown Chicken, Brown Cow. Here's a little clip of that. Brown chicken, brown cow. So we played that, and we made fun of it on Friday's show.
Brown chicken, brown cow. F you.
I agree. I agree. That's text a landline. You can do that and have a computer voice say it. And then this call came in.
Is it really not enough that you played Brown Chicken, Brown Cow 2 times last week? You're playing it again on Saturday right before I go to work? Are you trying to make my life worse?
Yep.
Not only that, my brother went and learned to play it on his bass. So I listen to it every night before I go to sleep now. You guys fail. Brown Chicken, Brown
Cow. Sure, we'll play it again for you. It's not our fault your brother went and learned it on the guitar. Honestly, what do you want us to do about that? A lot of variety in ways people hit on Lisa May. A lot of variety. Not all of it is gold,
but I
Lisa
appreciate
Lisa May, can I lick you, Lisa May? Lisa May, Lisa May, can I lick you, lick you, lick you, lick you, lick you, Lisa May? You know.
All right.
Was that a turkey sound effect? I don't know.
I think he might be in the Middle East right now.
Did that work?
Not so much.
Nope. How about this one?
I don't want to hate to admit this, but I like Beaver too. I'm into the Beaver. Lisa.
See, he changed it from Bieber to Beaver.
I got that. That was funny.
I see this girl the other day. She has a tattoo on her shoulder. It's a bean epping tattoo. Who in their right mind would get a bean tattoo? She must be lethargic.
She must be lethargic.
I don't
know what that means.
Ode to Psycho Mike.
Yep, that is the sound he tends to make all the time in the back of the room for some reason. I don't know if you saw the Oscars last night. Again, we have some highlights for you coming up in about a half hour. But Kirk Douglas was brilliant.
Someone I've been, this is Kirk Douglas. Hello.
Now, Kirk Douglas is 150 and had a stroke.
Yes.
So he has trouble talking fast. But I thought he was funny. I think he was trying to be funny.
He was funny.
When he gave out the award and he kept stalling before he mentioned the name.
I think he was awesome.
I think so, too. And finally, we got this guy.
Hey, I think we should have some more David Bowie songs on the air. I really like him, but sometimes I just can't understand what his lyrics mean and what he's trying to get the message through. So we should get some more David Bowie.
It's a good tip. I mean, it is difficult sometimes to figure out what the message is.
Sure.
So I guess we could help.
I'm sorry my songs confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. My complex lyrics really confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. My songs really confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. Don't understand my songs confuse you.
All right, thank you, buddy.
I'm sorry my songs confuse you.
Thank you for calling.
My complex lyrics really confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. My message doesn't get through to you. I'm sorry my songs confuse you. My songs really confuse you. They really, 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 really confuse you. My complex lyrics really confuse you. The message is buried, it really confuses you. Don't understand what I'm trying to get through. My lyrics really confuse you. My lyrics really confuse you. My lyrics really confuse you.
323-520-AFRO.
Hey!
I'm not sure that song requires a hey.
It's a hard fit.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6:51. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here to take another look at the showbiz beat. What do you got for us, Ralph?
Before I get to the showbiz news, how about some passes to a very, very special event? It is the world premiere of a little movie I like to call Battle L.A.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, this all happens at the Regency Theater. March the 8th,
we
Tuesday.
Got a winner!
March the
8th.
You don't have a winner. Nelly. Don't have a winner. And it's next Tuesday. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 11th.
He says, oh, Nelly.
But you will get to see it before anybody else if you're one of the first three lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. This film, I've been waiting for this forever.
Me too.
God, does this look good. I was lucky enough to be the host of the panel for Battle Los Angeles at Comic-Con last year.
You were the host of all.
I did a few.
All of
I
them.
I did a few panels.
Yeah.
This was the one I think I was most genuinely excited about. I got a chance to hang out with the cast and see some early footage. And it looks like it's like Independence Day, but crossed with the Hurt Locker. And, I mean, it is the most realistic depiction of what an alien invasion would be like, I think, if it ever actually happened. Because it's from the point of view of a one Marine platoon that is centered here in Los Angeles who has to take on these invading aliens. And it's shot on the ground, documentary style, as if you're with this group of Marines as they go up against these creatures. And it is terrifying.
I'm really tired of all the PC versions of aliens. Hey, maybe they'll come down and they'll love us and we'll all get along. This is just, they're going to come down and F us up.
Yeah, well,
it just looks awesome.
It's the conquering hordes. It is, you know, it's a story as old as mankind. The new people come to the land and they take what they want and they get rid of the people who were living there.
No one would ever do that.
How about us with the red man? Hey, came and took his land and his buffalo.
Who's that?
What'd we give him? Smallpox and a handful of jewels.
Hey, we let him live in the desert where no one else wants to live.
That was nice of us, wasn't it? So, yeah, Battle Los Angeles. If you're like the first three callers, as I said, 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of passes. Very exciting. All right. Showbiz. Because it's Monday, let's burn through the top 10 movies of the box office real quick. Romeo and Juliet was number one. That's all I need to say about this week at the box office, really, I think. $14.2 million made it number one. Then Hall Pass in its debut made a little over $13 million. Unknown was third. Just Go With It. I Am Number Four rounded out the top five. Justin Bieber's Never Say Never was sixth. The King's Speech, big Oscar winner last night, was number seven. Big Mama's Like Father, Like Son.
Yeah.
I think it was funny last night. Jimmy, on his show after the Oscars, said, the Oscars, of course, Academy Award night is the night where all of Hollywood celebrates excellence in filmmaking. And then the next day, they go right back to greenlighting Big Mama's 4, Mama in Space. Just so true. Drive Angry 3D was ninth, and then The Roommate was the 10th. Speaking of the Oscars, as I mentioned, it was a big night for The King's Speech. One for Best Picture, also won Best Director. Colin Firth won for Best Actor. Best Actress was Natalie Portman. Best Supporting Actress, Melissa Leo. Best Supporting Actor was Christian Bale, both for their work in The Fighter. So no real surprises last night at the Oscars.
I was surprised by The King's Speech. That one I thought was good, but I thought, like, Inception, to me, was a better screenplay, a better directing, better everything.
It was a
so unique.
It was a uniquely impressive film, yeah. I think, though, The King's Speech had an emotional resonance for people that made it the best film of the year for a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't have emotions, so I'm out on
that.
Yeah,
so you don't care so much. But for everyone who's ever felt insecure about anything in their lives, you can relate to what this guy is going through, you know?
You can't relate to a building's folding over on top of you?
Not so much, I think. That's what some of the people were saying. There was sort of a disconnect there emotionally, and The King's Speech moved a lot of people. How can you, Kevin, of all people, not take to heart a movie about a guy who has to speak for a living and yet can't speak?
What did you do?
A guy who
what did you do?
Is constantly stammering and fumbling over his words when his job is to be in front of a microphone and communicate to people.
Right, but
how could that not ring true and have an important part in your heart?
Is that so he doesn't Are you common. A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Come Look, on!
I live that
story. You are the king!
But I'm a continuing... I live that story continually, and it's not a fun story to be a part of.
But isn't it heart-wrenching? Isn't it a lesson we all need to learn?
How to overcome
our foibles and our
I'm incapable
weaknesses.
Of learning that lesson,
That's
though, Ralph.
That's true, yeah. We have to get a trailer together for Kevin's version of that. Where Jeffrey Rush tries to help Kevin learn how to speak in
Did
front of the microphone.
Did you see Jimmy Kimmel last night with
Mike
that?
Tyson? Yeah.
George W. Bush is the guy that needs to learn how to speak, and Mike Tyson is his coach.
Yeah, the president's speech.
So funny.
It was very funny. Check that out. Well, we haven't seen it yet here on the West Coast, but Charlie Sheen's interview on the Today Show has already aired on the East Coast, and reports are coming in. About Charlie. He's a little crazy.
You think?
Yeah.
What?
Well, first of all, he says he's a warlock.
What?
Yeah.
A warlock?
They picked a fight with a warlock.
Winning.
Charlie says on the Today Show this morning with NBC's Jeff Rawson.
What do you think he means by that?
He's a force to be reckoned with.
A warlock?
He's a warlock.
I'm an F-18, bro.
He's also an F-18.
Wow.
He says that... He cured himself of drugs. In fact, he said on the Today Show he doesn't remember the last time he did drugs. To which I would say, maybe it was a couple weeks ago during that 36-hour cocaine bender you went on with those porn stars where you had to be rushed to the hospital.
On that Wednesday night?
Maybe that was the last time. And I might be wrong. It might have been more recent than that, but I think you would remember specifically that one, wouldn't
you? It's possible he doesn't remember that because he did so much.
I guess so.
He blacked out.
Yeah. He also says that he created his own rehab at his home that he calls Sober Valley Lodge. Their primary client achieved radical success, he says, about the Sober Valley Lodge, which, again, is his house. When asked if he was afraid he might relapse, he said relapse was only for fools, trolls, the weak, and defeated. They allow for defeat to be an option. I will not, Charlie says.
Now, wait a minute. Does that mean he's not ever going to do drugs again, or he doesn't consider it a relapse if he does? It
sounds like he says he's never going to do drugs again.
Wow.
He will never relapse.
Because that's ridiculous.
As usual, he went off on his boss, executive producer Chuck Lorre of 2.5 Men. But he said he's a man of his word. He will return to 2.5 Men should they go back into production.
That's nice.
He has a new condition. Instead of the $2 million he currently makes per episode, he said he will only come back if it's $3 million an episode. For what they've put him through, he's insisting on a raise.
Wait, $2 million was the highest paid actor currently in television?
Yes.
Okay.
He wants $3 million an episode.
And they said that they might cancel it.
Right.
And he's making salary demands.
Take it or leave it, he says, regarding the $3 million an episode.
Okay.
He also said that CBS, the network, owes him a big apology and should be licking his feet. Well, you certainly had to negotiate, Charlie. Congratulations.
It's just gold.
Look forward to seeing you back on the show sometime.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is gold.
The first one's free, the next one goes in your mouth.
Speaking of Oscars, how about our buddy Trent Reznor last night?
How about that?
Winning an Oscar for original score for The Social Network.
Who looked more out of place than him in a suit?
But he was in a tux and everything. He looked like the real deal right there.
Yeah.
Our little boy's all grown up. It's very impressive. Congratulations to him. Kesha's new video is available online if you want to check it out.
All right.
The new video is for Blow.
Yeah. Which she does.
The next single from her Cannibal EP. It features unicorns, a laser gun battle, and her killing James Vanderbeek.
What?
You heard me.
Why?
I don't know. But his head winds up as a trophy on her wall. I know that much.
Oh, f*** you.
A lot to explain. You really just have to kind of check it out to see it.
She's so crazy.
She's wild.
She is an outlaw. She plays by her own rules.
She brushes her teeth with whiskey.
She's a card. She needs to be dealt with.
She's out of control.
And congratulations to Paul Stanley of Kiss.
Yeah.
He is going to be a father again this summer.
All right. What is he, 80?
His wife Erin is pregnant.
Come on.
He is 59 years old. Oh. That's all. He says being a dad at that age is no big deal. Here's Paul's quote. The only rocking chair this rocker is getting ready for is one for my new baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Paul.
Really?
You're an F-18. Winning.
Winning.
Bring it. Gene, you have any well wishes for your bandmate, Paul Stanley? Gene Simmons, of course, a regular here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I wish him the best, of course.
Oh, great.
I've
That's
gone
nice
through the
team.
Birthing process. Right. I'm actually a registered OBGYN.
Oh, you are?
I just saw Lisa May if you ever need any help with it.
All right.
Thank you, Gene. Oh. Good
arena?
To know.
I'm there.
Okay.
To inspect.
Well, got it. Might be due for her pap smear. I don't know. Maybe I'll check that out.
All right.
God. I think she is.
Thank you, Gene. Go away.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 56 years old today. Yeah. Actor John Turturro is 54. Ray Don Chong is 50 years old. Robert Sean Leonard of House is 42. Pat Monahan of Train is also 42. And actress Ali Larder celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Last night, of course, the 83rd annual Oscars.
Oscar!
Got to tell you, I'm so happy I T-voted because there's a lot of boring parts in that show.
Here's the thing, Kevin. That's not a show for you.
I agree. Oh. It really isn't. I can't hang with... There's so much stuff I don't care about. So I gamble and I drink. I mean, I think those are the two things that make it work.
Yeah, and people complain about the Oscars saying, oh, I don't want to see the stuff about the costumes and the set design and everything. But it is such a huge part of movie making, all
right.
of these elements.
But it doesn't make good TV.
But it does if you're a movie fan. Like, I'm a hardcore movie fan, and I am interested in who wins set direction and set decorating because that's a huge element in movies that I like. I like to see that stuff. I'm interested in the costume design. I think all of these elements that make up movies, to me, are interesting. So I enjoy those awards because I would like to see – for example, the Alice in Wonderland team absolutely deserved what they got for
sure.
set direction stuff because it was such an important element of that film. It makes all the difference.
I'm not a name dropper. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Rick Baker is a friend of mine.
There you go.
Right.
The guy that won 7th Academy Award for makeup.
I was interested in that award.
I thought he did a great
job on The Wolfman.
He's the best.
He's one of the best.
Yeah.
And all these elements, if you're a real movie fan, they are interesting to you. It's like someone watching the Super Bowl and saying, why are they talking about the defensive line? Why don't they just talk about the quarterback and the wide receivers more? Because it's an important part of the game if you really enjoy the game.
How do you think James Franco and Anne Hathaway did as hosted?
Maybe not the best choices is maybe what I was thinking this morning.
I thought it was...
They were okay, though.
Anne Hathaway was certainly okay, sometimes more than okay. James Franco never rose above the okay level.
He was high. Either literally
I hope he was, or
always.
Then he would have an excuse.
I thought the show opening was pretty funny, where they put themselves in a bunch of different movies,
really
including
good.
True Grit, where they're sitting on a horse opposite Jeff Bridges.
You are not LaVeef.
Say something.
Oh, I loved you in Tron.
See, because that's another movie that he was in. That
she
was
funny. Had two eye patches on the way, by the way.
She did have two eye patches.
She had one on each eye. That was very funny.
Randy Newman got it for Best Song, and I thought this was fascinating because I didn't realize what a horrible record he has.
Yeah.
He's been nominated 20 times. This is his second win.
I'm very grateful for this and surprised. My percentages aren't great. I've been nominated 20 times. This is the second time.
That's unbelievable.
You think when you think of Randy Newman, he's won every award every year for movie music because he does so much of it.
Kirk Douglas.
Kirk was my favorite part of the night.
Me too. I was trying to figure out if he was being funny or not. Like, I wasn't sure if it was sad or he was being funny, but I just couldn't tell. At the beginning, it was a little slow.
And now I'm going to give you five of them. The nominee for Best Actress. Support Access Award. Well, here they are.
All right. So then they announced the nominees. I didn't think he was going to get through that. And that's when I started. I was like, oh, this is sad. He's had a stroke. He's old, but everybody loves him and respects him. And then before he opened the envelope, right, just you know how they do on American Idol where they go, and the results are coming up right after this.
Yeah.
So he had the envelope, and he was just toying with him, and I felt so bad for the actresses that were nominated, but I thought it was brilliant the way he kept stopping to say other things.
You know, now is the moment that we are all waiting for. Hugh Jackman is laughing. I don't know why everybody in Australia thinks I'm funny.
Now the women are thinking, all right, listen, hey, old man, read the name because I'm up for an award here. What are you doing?
Colin Firth is not laughing. He's British. Now we come to the most important part.
All right, read the name. Read the name.
I always lose.
They were doing the Who Has the Higher Hand on the Kane comedy.
No.
All right, read it.
This is the moment.
Read it.
If I get this. You know.
And they had the camera on these women the whole time.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
That was very funny.
We'll never forget this moment.
All right. And he went on. And then he announced the
Best Supporting Actors.
Yes.
I think he was the sharpest, funniest guy at the awards.
I do too.
I think he can't communicate that, but his mind is obviously still there because he was, in essence, making fun of the fact that he can't speak and can't deliver that information. So he just made it more
painful. And he knew that he was making
it. So he elongated and made it more painful. And I thought that was very funny.
This is funny when they announced the technical awards and then James Franco came on afterwards.
Hey, Marilyn.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Marilyn Monroe clip. James Franco comes out as Marilyn Monroe.
What was that whole sequence about? She sang sort of a pseudo song that was only about 30 seconds long about Hugh Jackman, and he obviously wasn't in on the joke.
I thought you would understand that. I didn't get it.
No, I did not get it.
So then he comes out as Marilyn Monroe and makes the only Charlie Sheen reference of the night. That was funny.
You got to wear a tuxedo, so I wore this. The weird part is I just got a text message from Charlie Sheen.
See? But I got to tell you.
But that whole thing seemed ill-timed and ill-placed for me.
Yeah, it was odd.
She didn't really do it in a musical number. It was just sort of a pseudo number. And then he came out just for the visual gag of him wearing a dress.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything in it. And then they went right to another
award. It was a Charlie Sheen joke, which I thought was funny.
It's a long way to go for a Charlie Sheen joke.
Yeah, I agree. Christian Bale forgot his wife's name.
No, he did not.
Did that happen?
He didn't.
We debated that.
I was yelling,
either he
forgot
choked
it.
Up.
No, he didn't forget it.
He probably choked up.
He got
and,
completely choked
up. And, of course,
up.
Mostly my wonderful wife.
He points to her. What's her name?
I didn't think I was like this. I thought I was... my wonderful wife, who's my mast through the storms of life. I hope I'm likewise to you, darling.
Whatever your name is.
No, he had never intended to say her name. He just got choked up and couldn't carry on.
And my daughter, I don't know her name.
Stop it.
She's taught me more than
good for you.
This is my favorite. You remember last week we were talking about unfortunate names?
Yes.
Oscar goes to Wally Pfister for Inception.
This is the first Academy Award and fourth nomination for Wally Pfister.
Come on!
Wally Pfister's the best!
Wally Pfister!
Oh my God!
If his name was Willie, it'd be even better. Willie Pfister, now that's a name.
And then Natalie Portman, fat, won.
Pregnant.
Fat. What?
Fat. Pregnant. Fat. Pregnant with a baby.
Oh, she's pregnant?
She is pregnant.
Oh,
yes.
I thought she'd been hitting the buffet.
No, the only straight male dancer in Hollywood apparently knocked her up.
She got up and she won for leading actress, and I think rightfully so. And I was a little embarrassed by her acceptance speech.
Thank you so much to the Academy. This is insane. I want to thank Kevin for giving me my life. And I want to thank Kevin, who works with me every day.
No problem.
Kevin gave me my first job when I was 11 years old. Kevin, who has been my hero and my champion for the past decade.
Thank you, Natalie.
And now, Kevin, you are a fearless leader, a visionary.
Thank you.
I am blessed to have just gotten to get to work with you every day. Kevin, who dressed me, and Kevin, who designed the beautiful ballet costumes.
You're welcome.
And my love. Kevin, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was the worst editing I've ever heard.
How dare you? That wasn't edited.
And at least you could put it in some place where it made some sense rather than you designing the costumes and working with her every day, which you don't do.
That was not edited.
It was horrible.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you yelling about, Mike? What's the problem with...
Oh, my God.
Why do you hate blind people? What's happening?
I don't hate blind people. In fact, I have a huge appreciation, and I understand that it's an amazing, amazing handicap that a lot of people have to deal with, and I feel for them. I'm not trying to clown anybody that has any type of handicap.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, how many sporting events do I have to watch on TV or go to where Stevie Wonder's in the front row? In the front! $10,000 ticket the guy will have for Laker games. I saw him tarted around at the NBA All-Star game. He couldn't have better seats. He's wearing headphones, so he knows what's going on! Why not put him in a booth 100 yards away? Same thing for Stevie, and people can say, oh, but he gets to experience the...
Well, because all he has is his ears.
Right.
Okay.
Kevin, all he has
so
is
he
his
can
ears,
hear the talk?
And they put headphones on him.
Oh.
Headphones so that he can hear broadcasters tell him what's going on.
Winning.
And by the way, I understand he's a big deal.
Right.
Talking book songs in the key of life, the guy's a genius.
Right.
Some of the best music ever.
Right. Are you suggesting?
He's also been blind since birth.
Okay.
It's like explaining basketball to a Martian. What good does it do to put him in the front row? I'm sure. And here's another thing. If he's paying for those tickets, you know what? He could sit at half court for all. If you're going to drop $10,000 for every ticket, but we know Motown Records or somebody's comping this guy just so that he could be seen. So stop it. Take that money. Take those tickets. Give them. Even I'm not even asking you to go around and find an orphan who should, you know, or someone like that. Give it to a musical artist on your stable of people that can see the game and appreciate it.
You don't think he can? That's the only spot that he could appreciate the game from, though.
Nope.com.
I'm just saying because you can hear the talk from the players and all.
No,
that.
He can't because he's listening to Chick Hearn. Or, I mean, not probably not Chick Hearn, but he's listening to Spiro Dinas. You
that
know what I'm saying?
Wait, Chick Hearn still does the games?
Yeah, well, he does for blind people.
That's
your special network. Because pipe right into heaven for writing such good music. You know what I'm saying? Look, that's the argument there is, well, all he has is his other senses.
Right.
Yeah, but then they throw the sound-canceling headphones on him so that he can hear a broadcaster tell him what's going on in the game. Just as good in a luxury suite where no one's there to bother him, no crowd noise to get interrupted, he can have food brought right to him, perfectly comfortable. In fact, probably a better game experience for the guy who's never seen a thing in his life.
Why do you hate on blind people?
I don't
He deserves
hate.
To be in the front row every
hate.
Once in a
I
while.
I want F his eyes. F him. F him and
oh
F his
God.
Eyes.
You don't think that's a little extreme?
No.
All right.
No,
all
it's
right,
like,
good.
Okay, here's the deal. If you want to run the L.A. Marathon
yes.
and you're in a wheelchair.
Right.
Good. That's amazing.
Right.
That's fantastic. But you shouldn't have to take someone out who's dreamed of being in the marathon with legs.
And can run.
Yeah, and can run. And they get kicked out of the race so that you can be in the front. You know what I'm saying? Like, Stevie Wonder, you want to enjoy the Super Bowl, the NBA All-Star game? That's dope, okay? But don't get in the way of someone who can way, way, way more appreciate those seats. You feel me?
Yes.
Okay.
Psycho Mike.
Coitus to his eyes.
Email him if you'd like. I love Stevie Wonder, everything he's ever done, and I think it's great that they put him in the front.
And I love Stevie Wonder, too, and I love his music. I think he's actually a good person, from what I know, a humanitarian, a philanthropist.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't belong in the,
doesn't need to be
goddamn
in the front, row.
Front row.
All right. Okay. All right. Psycho Mike. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The World Tour 2011 is underway. Destination number 6 is Metallica in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Ugh.
All week long, you score tickets to the Big Four, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, and you get on the standby boarding list. Details are at krock.com at 737. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Like I mentioned, we used to work with Jimmy Kimmel. He used to be on our program. He used to be our sports guy. And know him well.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. Don't need to see him have sex with an exercise ball ever, 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 ever.
I don't know anything
I don't know if
about
you saw
that.
This last night. It was on after the Oscars, so it may have come on too late for you. But I hope you TiVo'd it because Jimmy Kimmel did his hottie body workout club. And the women that he had on it were ridiculous. He had Scarlett Johansson. Mm. I'll start with her.
I'm Jimmy K. Let's get to work.
Jimmy K, by the way, no one calls him Jimmy K ever. He's got little short shorts and a stupid headband. He really looks ridiculous.
Hi, I'm Scarlett Johansson. You know, people always ask me, how do you stay in such great shape?
She's rubbing all over Jimmy's chest and like he's the sexiest guy alive.
I never ask. I know.
Meet my fitness guru. Jimmy K.
Thanks, Scarlett. You know, there are so many workout programs out there. Ab gliding, pole dancing, weight shaking, tank topping, banging rubber against your head. But you know what all of these so-called workout programs have in common?
No.
I'll tell you. None of them work out.
Scarlett Johansson so overlaps at his jokes like she's so enamored with him.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see the video, go to KevinandBean.com. I put it up there along with the trailer that he did for the president's speech, which is also very funny. George W. Bush being trained by Mike Tyson. But so that's Scarlett Johansson. And then Jimmy goes on.
Fad diets and workout plans only lead to disappointment and frustration.
Thanks, Scarlett. But not anymore, because now you can become a member of my exclusive Hottie Body Hump Club. Hobo. Top Holly Hollywood stars like Scarlett Johansson know, Hottie Body Hump Pilates combines the flexibility of Pilates with the sexability of humping.
Humping Pilates.
To make your cardiovascular system a partiovascular system.
Yes!
Wow.
I'm Minka Kelly.
All right. Stop it with this.
There it is.
Minka Kelly.
Before I started with Jimmy K.
She was so fat she could barely even walk.
And now I feel great. And I weigh less than the average 9-year-old girl.
Thanks, Minka.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel.
Oh, wow.
Come on now. Stop this.
And when I started training with Jimmy K., I had a mission. To get into shape, to be bikini ready, and hopefully become the kind of woman that Jimmy K would select for a lovemaking session.
I train the ladies who fill the big screens and skinny jeans. Let my Hottie Bodies Humpilates DVD transform your body from Flabby Abby to Rippin' Kelly. Lunge it, plunge it, keep it going tight. Now hump, 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 hump.
Now, I don't need to see Jimmy humping an exercise ball.
I do.
That's not... You do, but you don't.
Good hump. That's good humpy, girls.
Let's get homo vibes.
Hump it up. Hump it down. Take a train to Humpy Town. That-
now, this is all the girls together humping an exercise ball.
Good. Hump.
Workout is a revelation. It costs strength and resistance. The Latin scrum strain this thing.
Sophia Vergara.
Gracias, muchas, Sophia. Before Jimmy K showed you the way, how would you have described your body? She was a disgusting hippopotamus.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan shows up.
Tell us more about lions, Lindsay.
That's a weird reference. There's a lion there that he's making reference to how it stays in shape. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. KevinandBean.com if you want to watch.
Well, lions spend their days hunting and their nights humping.
So true.
Lions hump upwards of 40 times a night. I've spent thousands of hours watching them, so I know.
The Jimmy K program is so affordable, it's practically a steal.
Allegedly.
See, because that's Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
Practically a steal.
Got it.
Jimmy Kimmel's Hottie Body Hump Club. Scarlett Johansson, Minka Kelly, Jessica Alba was in it. Jessica Biel, Sophia Vergara, Emily Blunt, Kelly Ripa.
Wow.
Lindsay Lohan. And Jimmy.
He's so much better than you.
You think? This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Charlie
Sheen?
Yeah.
Go, sir.
And then after the top of the hour, by the way, ask an ex-hacker. It's going to be fascinating. One of the best in the world.
Yeah. I remember I used to play hacky sack all the time in college. I used to have to kick it to my buddies and all. And
hacker.
I was like, I'm going to give this up, too. I was like, it's
computer
ridiculous.
Hacking.
It was hell on my ankles.
People that hack into the, you know, the Pentagon.
I'm not hip on the whole all technology thing with you kids. I don't understand that.
That's coming up after the top of the hour. Charlie Sheen, sorry.
Hacking the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Well, yeah, apparently you do.
No, because the guys in the black suit show up. Next thing you know, you got a hood over your head and you're in the back of a van. All right. Let's get out of the way real quick because we do it every Monday just to make sure. If you're interested, we'll do the top 10 movies at the box office. How about that? And then we'll talk about my man, Charlie Sheen, who is, I never want him to stop talking.
Me either.
Ever. But the top movies at the box office this weekend are as follows. Romeo and Juliet. See, because he's a gnome. He's a garden gnome.
Right.
And he's in love with a girl named Juliet, and it's Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
You see that? You don't get it, man.
I ran into a friend of mine at the movies, and he had a little kid. He has a little kid. I said, what do you see? And he's like, Romeo and Juliet.
$14.2 million made it number one, then Hall Pass in its debut weekend was number two. Unknown, Just Go For It, and I Am Number Four. Round out the top five. Justin Bieber's Never Say Never was sixth. Then The King's Speech, Big Mamas, Like Father, Like Son. Drive Angry 3D, and The Roommate was the top 10 at the box office this week. And more details coming in from the Charlie Sheen Today Show interview, which I guess has already aired here in Southern California. I think 7:30 was supposed to air. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to watch
he's the
TV.
He's the best. I'm with you. I hope he just talks and talks for the rest of our lives.
He's amazing. Not only is he a warlock.
He's a warlock.
Right? He told us that.
That's awesome.
He also told us he was able to kick drugs because he's got the blood of a tiger. The DNA of an Adonis. That's why he's able to get through.
I didn't realize that's what it took. That's cool.
He also says his father, Martin Sheen's support is based in what he's calling bollocks. British term, of course, for BS. Because he says, as Charlie says, his dad believes in Alcoholics Anonymous, which Charlie has denounced over and over again. He says he's subscribing to the model that it is that I think is absolutely fictional on its best day.
Wow, can you imagine being his dad?
That's got to be the worst.
Look, I'm disappointed in my dad.
Oh yeah, sure.
But look at Charlie Sheen, for God's sakes. Yeah. I win.
You should call your dad and say, yeah, Dad, how about Charlie Sheen? How about that?
Not so bad now, right?
And the best part of the details is that Charlie Sheen on Today has said that he is demanding a raise if they want him to return to 2.5 Men.
Wait.
He's currently making $2 million an episode. He will come back only if it's for $3 million an episode.
But I heard they canceled it.
Well, for this season, they are not producing any more episodes.
Oh, so they canceled it for this season, but maybe next season.
They have, I think, until May to decide. The head of CBS, Les Moonves, has until May to decide whether he's going to pick up the series next season or not.
$2 million an episode, which was the highest paid actor on TV.
We don't want you working
right
on our show.
All right.
For $2 million an episode. Okay, but then you've got to give me three. You want me back? No, Charlie, I think you're misunderstanding.
It's a strange negotiation.
We have told you we don't want you back on our show. Certainly not right now. Okay, but when I come back, it's $3 million. It's like asking a girl who just broke up with you for anal sex.
Right.
I hate you. I can't stand you anymore. I don't want to date you anymore. All right, but if you want me back, you're going to have to give up the anal sex.
That's the only way I'm coming back.
No, you don't understand. I hate you. I don't want to see you anymore. All right, then. Okay, let's go. You and me in bed right now. It's very confusing.
He's the best.
That's just this morning.
Right.
Apparently, he's doing a series of interviews on radaronline.com. Sit down video interviews for that website.
Awesome.
And then tomorrow night, Tuesday night on ABC, we get the 2020 interview. Which, from what I've seen of the footage, he actually sits down with a couple of the goddesses. His new girlfriend, right. And the porn star, Brie Olson.
Right.
The ex-wife is gone.
Oh, she's gone.
Took
okay.
off. They were down in the Bahamas.
So now it's
split.
Just the girlfriend of the porn star.
Right.
Okay.
So we get to hear their input, too, which I'm sure is equally fascinating.
Oh,
because
I can't wait.
They're all geniuses. They all got something to offer.
Sometimes there's nothing going on in the showbiz, and then there are other times like this where it's just too sweet. Slow down, Charlie. We can't keep up.
It is remarkable how hard he is pressing every media outlet he can get his hands on now. If he isn't an addict, he needs to be put away.
Yeah.
He's a loon.
Yeah, one or the other.
Could it be he's done so much partying, he's done so many drugs that he has brain damage now?
I don't know.
That
Why?
His,
Is that
his
possible?
Brain doesn't work.
Oh, totally. Especially with a guy who has as much money and has been partying for as long as he has. Easily you can do brain damage. And also, there's also...
Is that meaning he might never understand what an a-hole he's being right now, ever?
Possibly. There's also the chance that his sense of normalcy for 20 years now is on stimulants and tons of booze,
right,
day in and day out. So to come off of that, he has now spun himself a whole different mental outlook that he can't control.
He's been being bombarded with thoughts and sensations that he just can't control because usually he's so heavily dosed up with drugs.
Well, I'd like him to slow down because it's hard for us to keep up with everything he's saying. I mean, parcel it out, you know, over the next week or two.
You know he's going to be furious. Gary Busey. He's like, I'm the crazy Hollywood guy. I'm the one who makes no sense who's a loon.
I already
You're
had that.
You're taking my shtick.
I already had that job. It's not open.
Now what am I going to do? Can't act anymore. He was so proud of his work on Celebrity Apprentice, and now he just realized it's all being overshadowed.
Rudy is saying, yeah, I'm part of the treatment team. This is Dr. Drew and I are working together.
I hate this. I don't have the blood of a tiger, the DNA of Adonis. Damn it. All right, I got something to make you feel better.
All right.
Willow Smith is dropping her new single this week.
It's just Willow, Ralph.
I'm sorry, Willow.
Yeah.
You remember when she was whipping her hair back and forth?
Yes.
Well, she's got a brand new single that drops this week.
She's going in a new direction, but it sounds good.
I don't think that's Willow.
That's not it.
Pretty sure that's not Willow.
Oh, that's Goat Horror. Sorry.
10-year-old Willow has dropped her new single, 21st Century Girl. Yo.
That's a nice robot you do, Ralph.
Lady Gaga and Kesha had a baby, and it came out Willow Smith.
If they didn't have auto-tune, would she have a song?
Nope. That's why she's a 21st century girl, because she's a robot. That's what we found out. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith didn't have a baby. This is like Small Wonders. They built a robot.
They built a robot.
That's why she's a 21st century girl. By the way, is that not Poker Face? That song right there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's any number of, yeah.
It's
good.
Here's the lyrics in case you missed it. Give me an inch, I promise I'll take a mile. Danger is beauty, I'll face it with a smile. I'm on a mission with no restrictions. You're 10! You know what your mission is? Wipe yourself and tie your own shoes.
And shut the F up.
That's your mission. Good luck. We wish you all the best on your mission. If you accomplish that, then come back and get a juice box. Because you're 10.
Hey, she's rocking the beat.
She's not rocking
she's
nothing.
She's rocking the beat. I heard it.
She's 10. Don't second guess myself. I'm born to be wild. You were born 8 minutes ago. Go swing or climb on a jungle gym and leave me alone. Damn. Danger is beauty. What danger is she facing?
Growing up with a movie star dad.
What's the matter? Oh, your box of raisins go bad in your lunch bag?
Hey, she knows danger, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 56 years old today. John Turturro, the actor, is 54. Ray Don Chong is 50 years old. Robert Sean Leonard of House plays Wilson on that show. He's 42. Pat Monahan of Train is 42 as well. And Ali Larder celebrates her 35th birthday today. I'm the 21st century guy.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman and I walk the movie.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are joined now in our San Francisco station, Live 105, by Kevin Paulson, who has written a new book called Kingpin. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on the program. Kingpin, How One Hacker Took Over the $1 Billion Cybercrime Underground.
Wow.
I was just telling Kevin off the air that I usually am not a reader. I don't read fast. I read much more slowly. But so usually I just skim books, get a couple questions, throw them away, move on. But this one's super fascinating. And give us your background, Kevin, of what you did, how you got in trouble, and how you came to know so much about this world.
All right. Well, I've been a journalist for about 12 years. But before that, if you go back far enough, I was a computer hacker myself. I got busted in 1991. And what got me into most trouble was I was hacking into the phone company. And I used my access to cheat at radio station phone-in contests.
All right. How did you do that? So you were the only one that got through?
I was the only one that got through at the right time. So
when did you win?
I won a Porsche, and I won some cash prizes.
Nice.
And wait, that's what got you caught by the FBI?
There were a number of things that got me caught, mostly informants, but that's what actually got me prison time.
That pushed you over the top. Well, how much prison time did you get?
5 years.
And was it hard, what we consider hard prison time? It was white collar, right?
Well, it was pre-trial custody, which means you're bounced around to a lot of county jails and detention centers. I never, except for a 2 week period where they accidentally sent me off to prison, I was completely in county jails and stuff.
Did you say they accidentally sent you off to prison? How does that happen?
I had two cases. I resolved one of them. The Bureau of Prisons forgot about the second case, and they sent me off to Arizona until the prosecutors called them up and said, "Hey, we need this guy. We're still prosecuting him."
Now you were arrested by the FBI, right?
I was
in 1991.
1991.
Okay, were you at the time the top hacker? I mean, or one of the top hackers?
I suppose. I guess the top hackers are probably the ones that don't get arrested by the FBI.
Sure. But it seems like everyone does eventually, which is sort of what your book's about, Kingpin. What else did you get into? Did you get into the Pentagon? Did you get into the White House? Did you do any of that kind of stuff?
I was focused almost entirely on the telephone company. That was kind of my thing. Now, through my telephone company access, I had access to a lot of other stuff. I was learning information about FBI wiretaps, that sort of thing.
Wow.
I was not hacking the Pentagon at that time.
Now, the guy that you write about, this Max Vision Butler in the book Kingpin, tell us a little bit about him and how good he was at what he did.
Yeah, well, Max was an interesting guy. He started off as a what they call a white hat hacker, which means he was a legitimate computer security researcher and a penetration tester. So you could pay him to hack your network and tell you what the vulnerabilities were.
So that's real. That job is real, where he tries to get in, and if he can, then he tells the company, hey, you have a weakness here?
It's real, and he was the best of the best. He got upwards of $100 an hour for the service, and he claimed a 100% success rate. So if he set his mind on it, he could hack anything.
So he started that way? It seems to me like he would start, you know, crime first, because
that's the usual route, isn't it? You get busted and then you go legit.
Then
he went the opposite. Yeah. What happened was he wound up on his own and without permission hacking the Pentagon on a massive scale because they had a security vulnerability that he thought had to be fixed. So he went in with a computer program he wrote that broke into about 2,000 or 3,000 government computers and fixed their security holes for them. He didn't have permission. He got busted for that.
So he really did that out of a good place? He really did that to try and help?
You know, as is so often the case with hackers, it was a mixed motive. So he claimed he was trying to help. He also, though, put a back door in all of the systems that he hacked in case he ever wanted to get back in.
Ah. So there's white hat. That's the guy that's trying to help. And then there's black hat.
Right. At this point, he's kind of a gray hat,
okay.
I guess.
All right.
But he gets popped for that, and he gets sent to prison on an 18-month stretch. He serves a little over a year. And when he gets out, he can no longer find legitimate computer security work because he's just had a major high-profile hacking conviction. And that's when he started hooking up with some of the people that he met in the joint, like serious career white-collar criminals and fraud artists, and then working with one of them, a former bank robber in Orange County, he wound up launching an ambitious cybercrime spree that ultimately compromised about 2 million credit card numbers, and he took over. Through a series of hack attacks, he took over the online forums where computer criminals and identity thieves buy and sell data like credit card numbers and stolen identities.
So basically he took everyone's information that had hacked into security card fraud or whatever. That's fascinating.
Right. Yeah, it was so that
he that
was
put
that him
much better than the people who were hacking and stealing credit card numbers?
He was pretty good. At the peak, he was one of the top five vendors of stolen credit card data in the world.
Wow.
And this is a world that's dominated by Eastern European thieves because they really kind of perfected this whole business model. So he was a rare American who made a real impact.
So he's like in there with like Eastern European mafia guys.
Right, exactly.
And he's just a dude. Where did he live?
San Francisco. He worked from safe houses. He hacked from hotels at first using a giant Wi-Fi antenna in order to grab onto random networks and work his way out.
This was in the 90s when wireless was new, right? And then they had
now we're into the 2000s.
Right.
So this is around 2004, 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he wound up renting corporate apartments for a year at a time under a fake name, and he would use that as his office. So he'd say goodbye to his girlfriend every day, and he would go off to his office where he was working under an alias, and he'd start hacking.
Did he use the credit cards, or did he just sell them?
He sold them online. Credit card data goes for anywhere from $8 to as much as $50 per credit card.
So if my credit card got stolen, it would be sold online for $50 to some other random person.
I'm guessing you would be more like eight.
Eight, okay.
It's a function of the credit limit, and that's
what. Oh, I see. Okay, so however much the credit limit is, that's how much you can sell it for. I got you.
Right. So he was a part of this whole economy where you have somebody who steals the credit card numbers and they wholesale it in lots of 1,000, even 10,000 or more to somebody else who then retails it to a thief who winds up turning it into either blank cards that they use at ATMs or counterfeit credit cards that they use to go shopping with. So he was feeding this whole supply line.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to let the audience ask you some questions. You're going to stick around. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, you're going to stick around. We're going to let the audience ask you some questions. Ask an ex-hacker. This guy did it, and now he's working for Wired.com, mm-hmm. and he's writing the threat level assessment. Is that what it's called?
It's called the threat level blog.
Blog, okay. And it's about this super hacker, how one hacker took over the billion-dollar cybercrime underground. If you have questions, the number's 1-800-520-1067. Call now, and we will talk to him when we get back. We are doing Ask a Hacker. We have a senior editor at Wired.com and Wired Magazine, Kevin Polson, who's written a book called Kingpin, and he's an ex-hacker himself, busted by the FBI, and I apologize for this song, but let's hear it.
Hang, hang.
Now, tell me how much everyone can take.
Hang. You're on the net games. Got you in trouble, your computer.
You need more.
No, good.
We're good.
Hey, ex-hacker, we're gonna ask a on the radio morning show. Can you hack and get me free porno?
All right, thank you. All right, let's take some calls. I want whatever.
Oh my God.
I know. I want whatever Omar has. Let's see. Let's go. Let's start with T, who has a question for you, Kevin. Hi, T.
Hi.
Hi there,
Kevin, Lisa,
hello,
together, Kevin, and
B. Hi. What's your question?
I want to know if there was any kind of, like, actual safe email, because, like, I've had my Google account hacked before, so I want to know if there's actually a safe provider out there.
Google is getting better. They have an option now where your use of Gmail can be fully encrypted. That's something you can turn on in your profile.
How does she do that? Go to profile settings?
Yeah, it's okay. In there somewhere. It's pretty easy to find. And they're also very good at letting you... There's a way you could look at who last accessed your Gmail and see where they came from on the internet.
So if you were picking one, Kevin, you would say that one was as safe.
Yeah,
as any?
I think it's fine. Choose a smart password and don't fall for fake emails that pretend to be from Google and then try and get you to log into a fake Google Gmail website. That's the primary way that these accounts get hacked.
Okay, and so you also change it every 2 weeks, like it says?
No, because then you'll just wind up writing it on a Post-it note. No, just choose a relatively good password that you don't use elsewhere.
Hang on, Kevin. Let me just let me just check something with her. Are you in some kind of crime, T, and you're running from the law?
No.
Because maybe you should every 2 weeks if that's the case, but...
No, I pissed someone off, and they hacked into all my social networks and put a bunch of horrible pictures up that weren't of me, but they said they were.
Awesome.
So.
All right.
Horrible.
All right, I got you. All right, so you have settings that you can use if you're using Google?
Yeah, look for, if you're being hacked left and right, look for the secret questions that you use that some of these websites let you set as a backup to your password. Like, make sure that's not something that people can guess and use different passwords everywhere so that if you're compromised at one place, they won't be able to just hopscotch around to every place you have an account.
Hey, Kevin, what about those programs? There are programs that will save your passwords. They make passwords and then they'll save them for you so that it kind of – they enter them automatically?
Yeah, I'm a fan of that, actually.
You are? Okay.
They tend to be good, and it's a convenient way to avoid the temptation to use the same simple password
and
everywhere.
What's the name of those if people want to use them?
I don't want to endorse a particular one, but if you just search around, you'll find there are several good ones out there.
Let's talk to Alto. We're doing Ask an Ex-Hacker. We have Kevin Polson on the line. Hi, Alto.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your question?
Hey, guys. I have a question. How can I be introduced into this? Is there any software or programs that get me in tune with this stuff? I mean, I want to get rich quick.
You heard the part where I went to prison, right?
Alto wants to know how to become a hacker.
Well, start by reading my book.
All right, good.
If by the end you still want to be a hacker, it's you can search around. There are websites that'll teach you how to do it.
All right. Thank you for the question. It's funny. We have like four or five of those. They want to know what to do. Let's go to Mike. Ask an ex-hacker. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
You're on with Kevin Polson. Go ahead.
I want to know, as far as vulnerability goes, what are some of the common mistakes that the average home user makes to make themselves vulnerable to being hacked?
Falling for online scams is a big one. Your inbox is your biggest vulnerability. The thieves are very, very good at tricking you into basically clicking on the wrong link that you get an email, and that'll open you up. Aside from that, it's very important to stay up to date on all of the latest security patches for every major piece of software you have on your machine. So your operating system, if you're running Windows, you should have it set to auto update. you probably have an Adobe Acrobat plugin. You should always get the latest version of that. There are new security holes popping up all the time in all this software, and as soon as a hole emerges, the bad guys are exploiting it. So you have to have the patch as soon as it's available.
So they know it pretty much before you do.
Yeah, sometimes they know it before the companies do.
Is Mac a safer operating system?
It's hacked less. It's unclear whether that's because it's inherently safer or just because it's less common, so the hackers haven't focused on it the way they have Windows.
Right, okay.
But yeah, for the moment, you're less likely to be hacked on a Mac.
Thank you for the question, Mike. We appreciate it. We need to take another break. We're going to come back, and we're going to take some more questions. Kevin Polson is our guest. He is the senior editor at Wired.com. The name of the book is Kingpin. It's fascinating. You should pick it up and read it. And if you have any questions for him, 1-800-520-1067. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Kevin Polson in our San Francisco station, Live 105. He is the editor of senior editor at Wired.com, and he's written a new book called Kingpin, How One Hacker Took Over the $1 billion Cybercrime Underground. He is also an ex-hacker who has done time for it. Now you work at Wired. How closely are they watching you, Kevin?
I don't think a lot of people even knew that I was an ex-hacker when I started. I'd been doing reporting for so long.
But the reason I ask that is because the guy you write about in the book worked for the FBI at the same time he was hacking.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I drive to work at 3 in the morning.
Getting up and going in at this time.
Sorry, I don't know why that happened.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. I'm sorry. So, anyway, tell us what happened.
He was working for the FBI when he started hacking the Pentagon. And then that's part of why they came down so hard on him, is they were disappointed that he was helping them and then hacking them behind their backs at the same time.
It really seems like that if the guy is that talented, you really kind of need to watch both sides, right?
I don't think so. I think there was a kind of a failure to grow up maybe on his part at that point. I mean, when he got into trouble for hacking the Pentagon, he had a good career. He had a wife.
Wow.
He was very well respected in the community, but he still had like this little bit of a teenager in him that took over for a while.
I watched a movie yesterday. I can't remember the name of it, but it was about Robert. What's his name? Robert. The FBI agent that was in charge of Soviet relations and finding spies from the Soviet Union and was also selling secrets to them. You know,
Robert Hansen,
right. And it was just fascinating how he knew so much and he was in charge of finding people who were selling, and he was selling. I mean, it's just a fascinating world.
Yeah, you know, it's a small world. The FBI agent that wound up taking on Max when he joined the Computer Underground worked on the Robert Hansen case.
Is that right? That's the Max is the guy that is written about in Kingpin. All right, let's take some more calls. This is Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how do you download torrents without getting busted?
How do you download torrents without getting busted?
How do you recommend, because I love torrents.
Well, first, if you don't only download legal content, then you're not going to get busted.
Right.
That's the safest way.
But let's say he's not, just for sake of example.
The odds of being busted are still relatively low. The consequences, if you are caught, can be very high. You could be sued for a lot of money. But just as if you're just playing a numbers game, you're relatively safe.
Ryan, what do you think?
Are there any rule of thumb? Because I use a site that rhymes with Ganeroid.
Yeah, how will we know whatever you're talking about? Is that a safer site, Kevin, or is there such a thing?
You know, the safest thing is just to pay for your content, especially books.
He doesn't want to, though. Ryan, what do you download mostly?
Music, whatever I could find. I want to get the torrent for that badass song you guys played earlier, though. That one was pretty legit.
Yeah, we'll send that one to you, Ryan. Thank you for the call. Right, we're doing Ask an Ex-Hacker. Let's say good morning to Aaron, who is on line 6. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, guys. So with browsers like Firefox, Internet Explorer, you can store passwords to websites like Gmail. Is it possible for a hacker to dig up those passwords?
It's possible. If they've hacked into your computer, they can get anything.
Gotcha.
So they could get the keystrokes that you type as you log into your online banking. So yeah, at that point, if they own up your PC, then you're
how can you tell if they own your PC? You can't, right?
If they're good, you can't. That's why it's important to stay up to date with the latest software and run antivirus software.
Is there
that's a good
tip
idea too.
For anything to look for if you notice something? Is there or just there's nothing? They're not that sloppy.
If there are some things that could look, you could look for, like if your computer bandwidth starts being consumed by something you're not doing, like your internet gets very slow and your computer becomes sluggish, that could mean that that somebody's using your PC to do something that you don't want. Like a, one thing that happens is there are thousands, actually millions now of computers that are part of botnets, which is a, kind of a secret hacker army where a hacker can simultaneously control all of these machines and have them do nasty things.
All right.
That's the kind of thing that could put a drag on your computer's performance. So that's one thing to look for.
Well, all right. Thank you for the question. Let's go to Paul, who has a question for you. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Good morning. I was just curious, knowing what he knows, how confident is he shopping online? I mean, you know, 'cause I tend to use my credit card a lot shopping online. So
Kevin, do you use your credit card online, and is it safe?
I do. Yeah, that's a really good question. What I learned from reporting this book is that it's actually no less safe to shop online than the real world. In fact, it might be a little bit safer. That's because that the hackers are targeting point of sale systems now.
Oh.
They've done it at major retailers. Max's thing was he did it at small restaurants. So you pay for your pizza at the cash register, and that's where they get your credit card data. So I'm perfectly comfortable shopping online, provided it's a legitimate website.
All right, thank you, Paul, for the question. Let's go to Craig. Unfortunately, this kind of thing exists. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
Good. Ask an ex-hacker. Go ahead.
My question to you is, my girlfriend's ex-husband has always proven to be a little crazy with just some of his irritations that he does, and in which case, just yesterday, her email address went from being perfectly normal to just being jammed with about 400 pieces of spam and junk mail.
And that was him? That was her ex?
Well, of course you can't be certain, but when something drastic like that happens, we have so much other evidence that's shown that that's kind of his nature and behavior. So
right.
In which case, we're thinking that this could be, though we're not certain. Now, the email address is a real simple one to track down. I mean, first name dot last name kind of concept. And, of course, we need to change it. But I just wanted to find out, is there a way to backtrack the source where this came from, so as to retain this information and hold on to it for someday should we ever need to build a big case against this person, providing it was him?
Now, this isn't spam from the person. This is just regular garbage spam, right?
Well, the email address went from being perfectly fine to all of a sudden 400 pieces of junk mail that you're now subscribed to from all over the place.
It's probably nothing you could do to backtrack that, because if it was him, then he probably just signed her up for a bunch of email lists or posted her email address all over the web. It would be pretty hard to backtrack to him. But you could start just by doing Google searches on her email and seeing if it wound up posted on web forums or something.
Interesting. So you go to Google search, you put your email in?
Yeah. One way something like this might happen is if the ex-husband had posted her email address publicly on comment boards and that sort of thing, because that's where spammers get a lot of their email addresses. They harvest them automatically.
I got you.
So that would be a way to do it. And if he did that, then there'd be a trail to follow. But aside from that, there's not much you could do.
All right, we're out of time. Kevin, I'm just going to run through the people that are on hold and see if you can just give us a 5-second answer on everyone.
Okay.
Can I get busted for hacking a Twitter account?
Yes. Not likely, but yes.
Not likely, but yes. How effective are personal firewalls?
A good idea.
How do I know if I get rid of all spyware?
You probably haven't.
Personal home computer. Great. Personal home computer or business computer safer from hacking?
Ooh.
Or does it make a difference?
Business computer.
Business computer. All right. How can someone hack into my PlayStation 3?
Unless you've modded it, they can't.
They can't. All right. Well, there's a lot of good answers. So the book is fascinating. I got to tell you again, I started reading it, and it's just amazing to watch these people and what they do. Kingpin is the name of it, How One Hacker Took Over the $1 Billion Cybercrime Underground. The author is Kevin Polson, who's a senior editor at Wired.com. Kevin, thank you very much for spending the time today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I grew up on K-Rock, so this is very exciting for me.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Bye. 106.7.
Hey!
K-Rock.
Yeah!
Woo! It's KROQ. Right. It is 8:56. This is the Kevin DeMean Show. That, of course, Arcade Fire.
Oh.
Great song.
They're so on fire.
They're good.
All the games are burning.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm just giddy today. I'm giddy. Because the Oscars were last night. Charlie Sheen's The Gift That Keeps on Giving.
Oh, he's really the best.
And I've got passes to give away to our tremendous listeners. If you'd like to go to the world premiere of a little movie I like to call Battle L.A.
Why do you like to call it that?
Because that's the name of the film.
Ah.
The world red carpet world premiere will be held at the Regency Theater on Tuesday, March the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, March the 11th. But if you're one of the first two callers to get through right now at 1-800-520-1067, you'll get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Battle L.A. And by red carpet world premiere, I mean all the stars are going to be there.
How about that?
Like your Aaron Eckhart. Boy, is he a good-looking fella.
Sure.
He is. I did the panel of the Comic-Con for Battle L.A.
He was there?
And the entire cast was there. Michelle Rodriguez was there, and she's adorable. But you're when you meet Aaron Eckhart, you're like, that's a movie star right there. That guy, he's a big, strapping, handsome, talented guy.
Do you want to date him?
I would like to date him a little bit. I think so. So if you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers. Get a pair of passes, and this movie looks great.
It does.
Like Kevin was mentioning earlier today, the era of the friendly, benign aliens that we're taking advantage of, and we're the bad guys, that's starting to wane, and now we're getting back to the evil invading aliens.
They just show up in the 50s,
you know, the original sci-fi horror movies, that was all it was about, man, was aliens coming down to kick our ass, and how do we defend ourselves? And now it's back with Marines. Hoorah! Come on now! With the Marines. Oh, yeah.
We have Aaron Eckhart on the show on Friday the 11th.
What?
When it comes out.
What?
How about that? You can look into his dreamy eyes then.
Oh, I love me some Aaron Eckhart. All right. Let's talk, first Oscars, if you missed it last night. Here are your big winners. King's Speech won for Best Film, also for Best Director. Colin Firth won for Actor. Natalie Portman won for Actress. Best Supporting Actress was Melissa Leo from The Fighter. And Christian Bale. One for Best Supporting Actor, so that's a recap of last night's big award winners. But I just want to get to Charlie Sheen, because I know we're running short on time here, and I can't keep up. This is the first showbiz story, I think, ever, where I can't keep up with the details.
And we do it hourly.
I do it on a daily basis. I'm pretty conditioned now how to get updates from news stories from the internet regarding show business.
Right.
Been doing this for a long time.
Right.
I can't keep up with this guy. It's coming at me from all kinds of sources from all directions. He's been on every radio program known to man over the past week. And then he's got the Today Show Today that he appeared on. He's on 2020 Tomorrow Night. And in the interim, I'm getting fresh updates from Radar Online that's posting new exclusive video footage of a sit-down interview they do with him this weekend.
Oh, this is so good. I love him so much.
He can't possibly go back to work on Two and a Half Men. He doesn't have the time.
He's calling too many
people. He's too busy being crazy everywhere all at once. So if you want to go to radaronline.com, I recommend it because they're doing a sit-down with him, and he is talking about everything, including the folks over at CBS, who, of course, is the network that airs Two and a Half Men. He is not happy with how they've been treating him.
Have you spoken to anyone at CBS, the suits, as you call them?
What's to speak about? They've not rushed to my aid. They've not protected me. They've not said, Mr. Lorre, I'm sorry, you're a clown. Bye-bye. We're taking care of dude because he's a rock star.
He's a rock star.
Wow.
Jeez.
And he added, after that interview, a legend.
Really?
Yes.
A self-proclaimed rock star and legend.
He is a self-proclaimed rock star and legend.
All right.
He knows he's on Two and a Half Men, right? That all of this is about in my opinion, only occasionally funny sort of standard little sitcom.
I find it funnier than you do, but he does have a god complex. It seems like he thinks he's the best and most of everything.
He's just a sitcom actor.
Yeah.
And I think one that could be easily replaced. You know, John Stamos has gone on the record saying they haven't asked him to take over the role, but a guy like John Stamos would be a perfect guy just to step in and just take over that smarmy ladies' man role, and they just keep going.
Yeah.
I can see it being done easily.
Nope. You're wrong.
Well, he has been turning tin cans into gold now for a decade. If you ask him, he'll tell you about that, how he's been doing that over there on the show. But then he's showing off in this Radar Online interview, showing off his new tattoo.
Oh, I
don't
know.
Death from Above, that he got while he was watching Apocalypse Now. Because that is the on the card that Robert Duvall hands out in those movies on the dead bodies, Death from Above. And so he shows that tattoo. And while he shows it, he's referring off screen to his girlfriend, porn star Brie Olson.
Okay.
That's not a new tattoo, though, is it?
Yeah, you can see it's still kind of healing.
When did you get that?
I got it the same night I got this.
Death?
It's Kilgore's death cards from Apocalypse. Bang.
When did you get that?
In the movie theater a few nights ago with a couple of Top Gun pilots, F-18 pilots, watching Apocalypse. It was radical. You were there. It was radical, right? Did I flinch? I was smiling through the
pointing
whole thing.
Pointing off camera here to one of the goddesses.
Yes, one of the goddesses, yes.
Brie Olson, as we know her.
Well, but she's retired, and she's now Rachel. Mm-hmm. The Rach, as we call her. You're on my phone is the Rach, you know that? Like, I have to call you. You're here all the time. It's awesome. I'm sorry. Winning.
There you go.
Oh,
wow.
My
God. He's got a retired porn star living with him. Winning.
He's all over the place.
He is winning. That's all you need to know.
Did I flinch?
No. Smiled through the whole thing.
Come on.
The Rach. Retired. Winning. Madman Charlie Sheen.
Oh, my God.
Get your obituaries ready, news outlets. That's all I'm saying. Something's going to go down.
Man, and no one's going to miss him. He's just being such an a-hole.
I will miss him.
Well, I mean, from an entertainment standpoint, yes. But he's being such an a-hole, no one likes him anymore.
Somebody says earlier in this interview, we don't have the clip, but he says, what do you say about those people? Say you're out of control and you know, you need help. And he goes, what kind of car are they driving? What kind of women are in their houses? Winning. It's like, really? Is it just about the car you drive and what porn stars you're banging? Does that determine whether you win or not?
Yes.
You know, it honestly sounds like if you gave a freshman boy in high school endless amounts of money. Isn't that what it's like? Dude, check out my car. Did I flinch? I'm so tough. I got a tattoo. How tough am I, right? Right? Check out my hot chick girlfriend.
There's a little Spencer Pratt-esque quality to Charlie these days.
But most people, even freshmen in college, I think, would have enough common sense to go, this sounds bad.
Yeah, so I'm gonna
tone it back a bit. I believe it, but
I'm gonna rein it in.
Right.
And I can still live the life, but I don't have to go publicly. I don't have to go full a-hole.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 56 years old today. Actor John Turturro is 54. Ray Don Chong is 50 years old. Robert Sean Leonard celebrates his 42nd birthday. Pat Monahan of Train is also 42. And the lovely and talented actress Ali Larder celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, by the way, yes.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes,
Jennifer Lawrence. I want to give her my winter's bone.
We're looking at some of the covers from the Oscars last night.
We're looking
night.
At Roker's red carpet roundup.
Is that what it is?
That's what we're looking at.
She's amazing, and I don't know what Winter's Bone is, but I want it.
It's a small independent film.
I think I have it.
That she was Oscar nominated for.
Right.
And by all accounts, she's a wonderfully talented actress on top of being a smoking hot starlet.
But did we know about her before this movie?
I did not know about her before this.
Wow, me either. Let's take a look at some of the highlights from last night's Academy Awards. James Franco was one of the hosts. And I found it extremely funny because he seemed like he was completely out of place.
He seemed enormously uncomfortable with the role that he was given that night.
Well,
I'm surprised he took the gig, frankly.
He did seem unusually high as well, but I don't know if he seems that way all the time or what's going on.
Remember we talked to Danny Boyle, the director of 127 Hours, and he said when he first met him, he said, I don't want this guy in my movie because he showed up to the meeting stoned, and it turns out he wasn't stoned at all. So maybe that's just his demeanor.
Maybe like I always sound drunk, he always sounds stoned.
And maybe we're judging you harshly as well.
Well, this is one of my favorite moments as they gathered together all of the scientists and engineers. And they had them on stage, and they welcomed them, and they thanked them. They had to do a ceremony another night.
The previous night, they gave away the science and technical awards.
And this is when James Franco killed me because he was so completely out of place, and I loved it.
11 awards were given to the scientists and engineers who continue to innovate and invigorate our industry. The Academy thanks you.
All right. Congratulations, nerds.
When you boil it down, he's the character he played on Freaks and Geeks all the time. That's who that guy is.
He really is.
Yeah.
In real life.
He is.
We were talking last week about bad names. This one happened.
Oscar goes to Wally Pfister for Inception.
This is the first Academy Award and fourth nomination for Wally Pfister.
Don't pick on the Pfister.
Come on.
Fister rocks.
His name is Wally Pfister.
I know.
You don't even need a first name to go with that. Fister's bad enough.
You need Willie. Willie Pfister. I don't know, Willie.
I don't know why they did the auto-tune thing. Was that just
because
to kind of appear
hipper?
Because
it's young
Oscars.
And hip,
yeah.
Hey, we're hipper. We're hipper, everybody.
Yes, it's crazy young and hip. This, mad.
A little
hip,
bit of the Facebook
young
one.
Facebook. Let's dance.
Give a woman to my guy's tent and see a picture of him standing next to 14 trout.
I would love to see some of those older people in the audience going, what's happening?
What is this all about?
Because the video was stuttering along with the audio, so it would have not made sense to them at all. I'm pretty sure Christian Bale forgot his wife's name.
He didn't.
He forgot it. And it was fascinating because I've never seen it like this.
And, of course, mostly my wonderful wife.
Points to her. Can't remember.
I didn't think I was like this. I thought I was... my wonderful wife, who's my mast through the storms of life. I hope I'm likewise to you, darling.
He was crying. He wasn't. Didn't forget her name.
My wife...
See, you're projecting, because you know you would if you were up on stage.
Well, totally. Yeah. You, over there. And my kid, he said, and then he couldn't remember her name either.
Didn't.
Oh, come on.
That happened.
Didn't.
No, I'm just kidding. But it did sound for a second like he forgot.
He got choked up.
He did get choked up, and that's what he was saying. I didn't think I was like this. Kurt Douglas is 900 years old.
Oh, he's the best.
And I'm so glad that he was on the show. At first, I thought, oh, this is just sad. But then I realized his mind is sharp. He just can't keep up with
that
his mind.
That must be frustrating.
Yes.
Imagine if you're like still quick with it, but you can't get the words out.
I'm the opposite. My mind is mush.
Yeah. Your mind matches your mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
His does not, unfortunately. But this is when he came out. I was like, oh, no.
And now I'm going to give you five of them. The nominee for best...
supporting?
Actress.
Supporting?
Support Actress Award. Right here they are.
So that happened, and then he introduces them, and then here they are, here are the nominations, and then they announce a winner, and he just tortures them.
Yeah.
He just won't stop talking.
He's got the envelope open in his hand, but just won't announce
it. And they've got the cameras on all five of the nominees.
You know, now is the moment that we are all waiting for.
So read it, they're thinking.
Right. Hugh Jackman is laughing. I don't know why everybody in Australia thinks I'm funny.
All right, not time for your chunk on Australia.
Right.
Colin Firth is not laughing.
Still got the envelope.
Why?
He's British.
Because he's British.
Now we come to the most important part.
All right, open it up and read it.
Here we go.
Just read the name right on there. Read the name. Who won?
I always lose. Yeah.
Right. This isn't about you. Who won?
Now. This is the moment.
All right. We already said that.
If I get this.
You have trouble with the envelope?
You know.
So that happened, and he went on and on. That was. Yeah. But I think. At first, I thought, wow, he doesn't realize these women are waiting. And then I realized, yes, he does.
I'm working because I've got a speech impediment and I can make people.
He's totally effing with them. And that's when I decided I loved him. And Natalie Portman won for Best Actress. Yes. And fat, first of all.
Pregnant.
She's been hitting the buffet
a
little heavy.
The child's fat.
You would think that they would.
The child is not fat.
You would think that they would. You know, go on a diet before they go to the Academy Awards.
Stop.
But
come on.
Then I was turned around by her acceptance speech, which was frankly a little embarrassing.
Thank you so much to the Academy. This is insane. I want to thank Kevin for giving me my life. And I want to thank Kevin, who works with me every day. Mm-hmm. Kevin gave me my first job when I was 11 years old. Kevin, who has been my hero and my champion for the past decade.
You're welcome.
And now, Kevin, you are... a fearless leader, a visionary.
Thank you.
I am blessed to have just gotten to get to work with you every day. Kevin, who dressed me, and Kevin, who designed the beautiful ballet costumes.
No.
And my love. Kevin, thank you so much.
It was a little embarrassing. I mean, I think she went a little
over
the top.
The only thing embarrassing is your editing job on that
speech. That was not edited.
You could have worked a little bit harder.
What are you talking? This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning.
Winning.
I hear you.
I have Adonis DNA. Tiger's blood. Charlie Sheen this morning said on Today's show.
Winning.
that he is not like normal people. He won't relapse into drug addiction because he has tiger's blood and Adonis DNA.
What does that mean? Tiger Woods?
It means that a guy named Adonis came over to the house one night, hanging out with the porn stars. Next thing you know, Charlie's got his DNA.
So Charlie is literally a god on earth?
Yes.
That's what he's telling us?
Don't you understand? He's a rock star. He's a legend.
Winning.
Here's the thing. Two and a half men should just Darren from Bewitch his ass. I wouldn't even give him the satisfaction of one episode explaining where Uncle Charlie went.
Just replace him with someone else and move on?
I would just bring in Stamos or somebody else. And, hey, Uncle Charlie, what's going on? And just not miss a beat. Just go back to the, oh, your son sure is eating a lot. Oh, you have no luck with the ladies like I do. Just go right back to the formula and not even miss a beat.
Here's the comedy behind the scenes is that Ralph has always hated that show.
It's horrible.
Really.
It looks like a sitcom. It sounds like a sitcom. And yet it is a sit without calm.
I find it mildly funny, and that annoys Ralph, but he started out from a position of hating it, so now to see Charlie Sheen mouthing off about how good he is.
Oh, man, that he's been taking tin cans and turning it into gold for a decade. Wow, this guy's even more deluded than we thought. But he's been on every possible media outlet today.
You're right,
defending his position. He was on the Today Show this morning. He's going to be on again tomorrow. He's going to be on 2020 tomorrow night. He's been on the Adam Jones show, Alex Jones show last week. He was on the Dan Patrick show before that. He was on Loose Cannons.
We just talked to him like 10 minutes ago.
You guys just talked to him. He is everywhere, and it was magic. Here's the thing. Does he think a lead in a sitcom can't be replaced? Because what was he doing then for Michael J. Fox on Spin City when Michael got sick and left that show? Do you remember who took over for Michael J. Fox?
No.
Charlie Sheen. Oh. He was the new lead on that show for like another two seasons or something. So, obviously, he has to know from experience it can be done.
Not him, though.
Spins any winning.
He's a
spinning
god on
it
earth.
Into gold. Spin into Gold City. So, that's my rant. You can also see him on radaronline.com. He's done a series of live interviews that are available to watch on video there. And we pulled those clips earlier today in case you missed them. Here he is referring to why he is not happy with the network CBS.
Have you spoken to anyone at CBS?
The suits, as you call them.
What's to speak about? They've not rushed to my aid. They've not protected me. They've not said, Mr. Laurie, I'm sorry, you're a clown. Bye-bye. We're taking care of Dude because he's a rock star.
We're taking care of Dude because he's a rock star.
Wait a minute. Winning.
But at the same part, he said they're not coming to my aid, like he needs help.
He thinks they should have sided with him over Chuck Lorre, booted Lorre from his own show, Charlie back into the fold, and allowed the show
just
to
moved
continue.
On.
Yes. But he has to keep in mind that Chuck Lorre has a track record which is pretty substantial in the world of situation comedy.
That
big,
isn't
big
just the
Bang
show.
Theory. Right. And, you know, he's got quite a number of hits that he's created for CBS and other networks. I think it's kind of hard for a network to say goodbye to a guy who's that much of a rainmaker. Where Charlie Sheen has one hit, this guy has many hits.
Plus, Charlie Sheen appears to be spiraling out of control.
Yeah, he's not really the guy you want to spend 5 minutes around the craft service table with, apparently.
Right.
He also says he's talked to his castmates and they're supporting him 100%. We haven't heard that from the castmates.
Mm. Yeah, we haven't heard a word.
No, we haven't. It's got to be tough for them, right?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
They must hate him.
Oh.
That's their bread and butter. That's their job. You know, now they don't have a job. But, oh, that would drive you crazy.
He also talked about his new tattoo. He's got a tattoo that says Death from Above on his stomach. It's a bad tattoo, by the way.
Is it?
On top of it. On top of being
like
just
a prison tattoo?
Horrible.
NBA tattoo?
Just a bad topic. It's a banner that says Death from Above, and then it's got an apple dropping off of it.
An apple?
And he got it while he was watching Apocalypse Now. And he refers to it here as he shows the interviewer the tattoo, and also refers to his porn star girlfriend Brie Olsen, who's no longer a porn star.
Ah.
That's not a new tattoo, though, is it?
Yeah, you can see it's still kind of healing. When did you get that?
I got it the same night I got this.
Death?
It's Kilgore's death cards from Apocalypse. Bang.
When did you get that?
Bang. In the movie theater a few nights ago with a couple of Top Gun pilots, F-18 pilots, watching Apocalypse. It was radical. You were there. It was radical, right? Did I flinch? I was smiling through the
pointing
whole thing.
Pointing off camera here to one of the goddesses.
Yes, one of the goddesses, yes.
Brie Olsen as we know her.
Well, but she's retired, and she's now Rachel. Mm-hmm. The Rach, as we call her. You're on my phone as the Rach, you know that? Like, I have to call you. You're here all the time. It's awesome. I'm sorry. Winning.
Yeah, he's winning. He's got Brie Olsen living in his house. He's winning.
Did he show his tattoo and go bang?
He did. Bang. Winning. Porn star. House. Living.
Did I flinch?
No. Smiled. F-18 pilots. Watching a movie.
Radical.
Radical.
He's the best. I love him so much. Too bad he's not going to be around for long.
Endlessly entertaining. I love how watching a movie about war with guys who fly planes somehow makes him tougher.
He's one of them.
Because he's sitting in a theater watching a movie with guys who fly planes?
Yes.
Somehow he makes him a Top Gun pilot?
He is a Top Gun pilot. He said that. He's an F-18, remember?
Bang. Oh, Charlie. Anyway, there's your Charlie.
I'm an F-18, bro.
Here's your Charlie Sheen update.
I'm an F-18, bro. He doesn't need to fly it. He is the F-18.
And isn't there an embargo on bro? Once you get past like 35, you no more bro.
Look, he is breaking all the rules when it comes to when do you give up fill in the blank behavior.
Winning.
At the age of 45 that he is, you'd think.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, there is a new sheriff in town. And
the first one's free. The next one goes in your mouth.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
Love it.
It is Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Romeo and Juliet's the big winner. Hall Pass and its debut came in at number 2 with $13.4 million. Unknown was third. Just Go With It was fourth. I Am Number 4 is number 5.
What?
That's mind-blowing.
Oh.
Radical.
Radical. Bang.
Winning.
I Am Justin Bieber. Nope. That's, not the name of that.
That's a different movie.
Justin Bieber's Never Say Never was sixth. The King's Speech was seventh. Big Mama's Like Father Like Son was eighth. Drive Angry 3D was ninth. I'm so sad for Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Breaks out of hell.
What does a guy have to do?
And his movie only makes $5 million. What's wrong with people? How does that guy impress you? Broke out of hell.
I bought a ticket for it, but I just didn't feel up to it. I knew it was going to be bad, but how bad? I mean, really? Email us.
Hold on.
I bought it
Hold
because
on.
It's going to be... Because...
You bought a ticket.
Yes.
And then did not go.
Yes.
Well, what?
Well, I wasn't feeling
Charlie
well.
Charlie Sheen money?
No, I wasn't feeling well, but I thought, this is going to be so bad that I'm really going to like it because it's going right. to come around and be really horrible.
And you were afraid that every seat in the theater would be sold out, so you had to buy your ticket in advance?
Well, I do because of ArcLight.
Oh,
you
I
can,
see.
You can pick a seat and all that stuff.
Right.
Trust me, there was no one in the theater. I didn't have to really pick.
Right.
But then it came around time to go, and I was like, I don't know. I'm not feeling well. And
you're
I don't
a
know
weak.
If it's going to be bad enough to make it worth it.
You're not a winner.
I know.
You don't have tiger blood.
You know what I'm not?
Winning.
You don't have Adonis DNA.
That's true.
There's a new sheriff in town.
And The Roommate was number 10 at the box office this week.
That's what I'm talking about.
And lastly, we've got new music from Willow.
Willow Smith.
Willow Smith, better known as Willow. After she had her smash hit, Whip My Hair, she has been threatening us with a follow-up single, and apparently here it is. Says she's got an album on the way, by the way. Stay
yes.
tuned.
Yes! When's that going to drop?
Just very soon, she says. But in the meanwhile, she's just giving us another single. It's called 21st Century Girl. And, you just judge for yourself.
Idea that she doesn't sing at all.
Really,
don't you?
Do.
Really? That's all.
I think
production.
They just have downloaded her entirety into a computer, and now they just press some buttons.
She could not. Has anyone heard her sing live? I haven't.
No. She's 10, Kevin.
I know
she's 10. What do you want from her?
I
want
to know if she's singing at all.
She can't.
We have one clip of her singing live.
We do. Yeah. This is her live.
Oh, okay,
good.
I want to
hear it.
See? not as good.
Doesn't sound like her at all.
Thank God for auto-tune.
I don't like the sexy middle of that song
either,
by the way.
She's 10.
I like to drop the bean and hang them in the You're 10. Don't be all Kesha. I brush my teeth with Jack Daniels in the morning. Don't give me that chunk. That's not right.
I hear you.
Disturbing. Very disturbing. And it's Poker Face on top of it.
It is the same song, yeah.
I whip my hair. It's the same thing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gilbert Gottfried is 56 years old today. Actor John Turturro celebrates his 54th birthday. Ray Don Chong. He's 50 years old. Robert Sean Leonard, who plays Wilson on House, is 42. Pat Monahan of Train is 42 years old today as well. And Ali Larder celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Michael Cuttitz. How do you say his
Cuttitz.
Name? Cuttitz. Michael Cuttitz from Southland.
Oh, if you're not watching Southland, you are no friend of mine.
What a
great show
it
has
been. It has been a great, great season. And we're coming up to the end of it, right?
I think two more episodes, maybe?
So good. From Southland. He'll be in the studio tomorrow. And we're going to talk to Anna Faris about Take Me Home Tonight.
Oh,
so how about that?
Love her.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.